your copy of Hasta Malika. You've got seven sorted out.
Jayam Vishupada Paramahamsa Parivrajaracharya Stotra Sada Shri Sriman Abhay Charanakaminda Bhaktivedanta Goswami Maharashila Prabhupada Ki Jayam Nutilira Pravishta Vishupada Paramahamsa Parivrajaracharya Stotra Sada Shri Sriman Bhakta Siddhanta Saraswati Maharashila Prabhupada Ki Ananda Vodi Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Namacharya Shila Haridas Thakur Ki Prem Saho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinatha Shyama Vrinda Radha Kuli Giri Govardhani Ki Vrindavan Dham Ki Mayapur Dham Ki Madhuravari Dham Ki Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Dwaraka Puri Dham Ki Ganga Mai Ki Yamuna Mai Ki Tulasi Devi Ki Bhakti Devi Ki Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Gaura Premanandi All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namama Shupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimade Bhaktivedanta Swamini Dinamini. Namaste Saraswadevi Gauravani Prajarini Nurvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatya Deshatarini. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Samsara Sagare Magnam Dinamam Karuna Nidhe Karma Graha Grahi Dangam Mahamuddhara Bhavarnavar Srimal Bhagavada Khyoyam Pratyaksha Krishna Mevahi Shri Gurudo Simayanadha Muktyartam Bhavasagare Manorathe Madiyoyam Sabala Sarvadatvaya Nurvikne Naiva Kartavyam Dasoham Tava Keshava Bhavi Yadha Bhakti Padayo Savajayade Tada Kurushva Devesha Nadastvam Noyada Prabhom Nama Sangirtanam Yasya Sarva Bhava Pranashanam Pranamo Dukkashamanam Tam Namami Harimparam Janmadyasya Yadonvayadidaradas Chartesha Vignaswaran Hene Brahma Hridaya Adikavaye Mukhyandiyat Surayam Tejo Varivadam Yatha Vinimayo Yatra Trisargo Mrasha Dhamna Svena Sada Nirastha Kuhagam Satyam Param Dimahi Dharma Prochita Gaida Votra Paramo Narmat Saranam Sadam Vedyam Vastavamatra Vastu Shivadam Tapatrayon Mulanam Srimad Bhagavati Mahamuni Krude Kimva Vadairi Ishvara Sadyo Hridya Varudya Detra Krudibi Shishro Shubhi Talkshanal Nigamagal Padaror Galidam Bhalam Shukamukhad Amurdadrava Samyudam Pipada Bhagavadam Rasamalayam Muhuraho Rasiga Bhuvi Bhavukaham Sachidananda Rubaya Vishol Patyadi Hedave Tabatraya Vinashaya Shri Krishnaya Vayam Numam Yam Prabhrajandam Anubedam Abedakrityam Dvaivayano Virahadharam Ajuhavam Putredidan Maidayataravo Bhinedu Tam Sarvabhuda Hridayam Munimanadosmi Yaswanubhavam Akhila Shrutisaramegam Adhyatma Dhivam Adididirshadam Tamondham Samsarinam Karunayaha Purana Guhyam Tam Vyasasunyam Ubayami Guram Muninam Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Jaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudhirayem Kamaniya Kishore Mugdhamurte Kalavenu Kunidadradana Nindoho Mama Vaji Vijrumbadam Murare Madhurim Nakkanikabhi Kabhikabhim Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimadi Bhaktivedanta Swami Nidinamine Namaste Saraswati Devim Gauravani Prajarine Nurvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatya Deshadarine Srimad Guru Charanaravindabhyam Nama വന്ദേ നന്ദം വ്രജശ്രീണം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ടശാം യാസം ഹരിഗതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദിഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമഃ കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വദാലയേശ മനിഷം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി ഓമളം പൂജയൻ വേണു ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവീര്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ വാസദാം പുരതോ മമാം മുഖം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമഃ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമഃ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ഓം പാഠായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണീ ഭഗവതീം അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനീം അമ്പത്വാമനുസന്ധദാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണീം നമോസ്തു ദേ വ്യാസവിശാല ബുദ്ധേ ഉല്ലാരവിന്ദായതപത്രനേത്രം യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപാം പ്രപന്നവാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈകബാണയെ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമഃ സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സ സുധീർഭോക്താ ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത് വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതട ജയദ്രഥജല ഗാന്ധാര നീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ വഹനി കർണേന വേലാകുലാം അശ്വത്ഥാമാ വികർണ ഘോരമകര ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സുതീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദീ കൈവർത്തക കേശവാം പാരാശര്യവജസ്സരോജമമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകകേസരം ഹരികഥാ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപ്പദൈരഹരഹപ്രേപീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാദ് ഭാരതപങ്കജ കലിമല പ്രധ്വം സിനശ്രേയസേ മുഖം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കം ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാ വരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്വന്വന്തി ദിവ്യൈ സവൈർ വേദൈ സംഗപദൈർ ക്രമൌപനിഷദൈർ ഗായന്തി യം സമഗാഃ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തി യം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം നവിദ് സുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ Yesterday we were discussing from the Bhagavad-gita, we talked about a little bit that we have seen that the in that story what we talked about at the end, story means it's an incident that happened in Haridwar long ago. As I mentioned there, the two sannyasis were present. One sannyasi was in the state of that vairagyam stage. Other personality, due to the jnanam inside, realization of the self, his nature was different from the person who is in vairagyam.
Jnanam and Vairagyam. Vairagyam and Jnanam considered to be the two children of bhakti. Is it not? So, when bhakti is progressing, Jnanam is progressing, the person's svabhavam changes in one way. In Vairagyam stage, it is in another way. So, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that verse, Yastha alpa radhi revasya, alpa drutascha manava, almanyevaja sandushta, tasya karyam na vidyade. That is that second personality. Almaryadi, completely absorbed in the state of Alma, that happiness or the bliss that's coming from the self. Upanishads also will confirm the same thing. Alma pashyat, alma purastat dakshinaha, alma ivedam sarvam, almaryadihi, alma kridaha, alma midhunaha, alma anandaha, Saswarat Bhavadi. You will see these expressions of the self-realized soul in Chandogya Upanishad. Chandogya Upanishad says these things. That Alma Pashyad, Alma Purastad Dakshinaha, Alma Vedam Sarvam, Alma Radihi, Alma Kridaha, Alma Midhunaha, Alma Anandaha, Saswarat Bhavadi, Sarveshu Logeshu, Kamachareshu Bhavadi. So, where he, that person, the second person we were talking about, the second sannyasi, who was behaving like a little child, that is his stage. In Krishna says that in the Bhagavad Gita in one way, which is very much the same what the Upanishads are saying. Upanishads are saying that person, he has realized Alpa, he has realized the self, and he is absorbed in the self all the time. Alpa Kridaha. Then Saswarat Bhavadi, he is always independent to do what he wants to do. Saswarat Bhavadi, Sarveshu Logeshu Kameshu Kamacharo Bhavadi. That all desires have gone away from this world and therefore he is totally independent. That Jnani. Jnani is totally independent. So that happiness that's coming in the Jnanam realization, that is the one why finally happens to a person due to renunciation and as well as due to the realization of the self. And that is the highest profit. This stage, what we were talking about, that second sannyasi, his state. That is the one, the aim, finally to come to that state. Bala Unmatta Pishachavat says in the Bhagavadam, with reference to Dattatreya Maharshi, Rishabhadev, Jadabharata and many others as well as about Hastamalaka, it says the same thing. So, these are the goals what we have to get to finally. That Alpa Kridaha, Alpa Radihi and Alpa Midhunaha, all these are the spurious person who is situated in the platform of the soul. So, otherwise, that goal has to be there at the in our life also. We have to have that goal. Otherwise, we have lived in this human body for a certain number of years, isn't it? We have a lifespan here, 60 years, 70 years, whatever it may be. And we have gone through the other 8.4 million different species. There also we had a lifespan. See, for example, a lifespan in the cow, about 20 years we had. In the tiger, probably 30 years or 40 years. In the elephant, 120 years. This is what they normally we see in the different species. So when we pass through all that different bodies, also we had a lifespan corresponding to the body what we had. Similarly, when we got the human body, we have a lifespan here. 70, 80 or whatever it may be. And when the prarabdham is over, this body will also go. But after living in this human body, ultimately, we have to come to some happiness in life, is it not? That means sandosham or anandam has to come from that. But at least before leaving this body, we have to leave this body in a peaceful shanti state. So sometimes when we ask, people are getting very old and we ask them how they are, they will say, yeah, it's going on like this. That will be the answer. It gets, sun rises in the morning and the sun sets in the evening. It gets dark and again it comes out in the morning. Again it gets dark. But there is no shanti inside. There is no bliss, happiness inside. And that And that bliss, what we say, at the old age, if we are not having it, that the Bhikshu has managed to get it back. Our Bhikshu Gita, that Bhikshu, Brahmana, Avanti Brahmana, he managed to get it back. How did he do that? Because he has gone beyond the mind. He has transcended the mind. That's what has happened to him. He understood the problem. What was causing actually the problem was the mind. And he transcended the mind. So that is why you will see in the Bhagavadam, when you look at that verse, he says there, Bhishmohi Deva Sahi Deva Deva. He says, he's paying his obeisances to this mind. He's saying, Bhishmohi Deva Sahi Deva Deva. If you look at that Bhagavadam, in the Bhikshu Gita, you will see this statement from the Bhikshu. He's saying, in the 48th verse, in the 23rd chapter, 11:23:48, he says, Manovashenyi Habhavansma Deva Manascha Nanyasya Vishvasham Samedhi Bhishmohi Deva Sahasa Sahiyan Yunjyad Vashedam Sahi Deva Deva. That when I got him under my control, he says about the mind, that if you get him right, if you sort him out, then how is he sorting him out? Through thought power, to the thinking and analyzing it deeply inside. He has managed to get control over his mind. That's what he's saying here. Because what was he found out? What actually was causing the problem for the mind? And all the causes, he has removed them. He has removed the causes that was disturbing his mind. First thing he found out, karma was causing the problem. Karma was a big influence on the state of mind. So he has pulled out of the karma. And in this way, one after the other, all other things he analyzed them and he found out what exactly was causing the disturbances in the mind and he took them out and thrown them out. Took it and thrown them out. And he said that none of them are responsible for my misery. Nayam janome sukha dukha hedu na devadalpa graha karma kalaha manaparam karanamamanandi samsara chakram parivartaye bhod. So he understood that none of them are responsible. Manaparam karanamamanandi, the mind alone is responsible. And the reason the mind is getting disturbed so much is because of the various factors that influences the mind. So, tukkasya heduhu yadi devastu. If you look into the 23rd chapter, you will see there in the 52nd verse that dukkasya hedur yadi devadastu kim almanastatra vigarayostad yadangam angena nihanyade kujil krudyada kasmai purushasvadehe. And in the various verses he analyzed them, is it not? He's saying here, Alma yadisyal sukha dukha hedu kimanyadastatra nijas svabhavam na hyalpanonyan yaditan mrashasyal krudhyeda kasmal na sukham na dukham grahanimittam sukha dukha yoschel kimalpanojasya janasya devai grahayar grahasya ivavadandibinam krudhyeda kasmai purushastatonyam karmastu hedu sukha dukha yoschel dukhayeshche kimalpanastad dijada jadatvai dehastojil purushoyam subarnaha krudyeda kasmai nahi karma moolam kalastu hedu sukha dukha yoschel kimalpanastatrada almagosav nagnerhidabo nahimasya dalsyal krudyeda kasmai na parasya dvandvam nagenajil kwabi katanjanasya dvandvo paraga parada parasyaha yadaham samsruti rupenasyal devam prabuddho nan bhedi bhudehi. So evam prabuddho nasi tidedi bhudehi. So he says, Bhikshu is saying there, that all these things what were frightening us when we are inside this body, that they are all panchabhudam, the five material elements that has come in the form of this body, gross body, which is a cause of fear for us. We experience the fear in the mind due to this material body. Is it not? This material body causes fear inside the mind, in our own mind. And this material body is made of five material elements. And that five material elements is frightening me. So, so Shruti, Vedam is saying, If you identify with anything else apart from Atma, and any vastu, doesn't matter whether it's body or something else, if that is separate from Atma, independent of Atma, they will all create problems. They will create fear inside. They will create fear inside. That is the verdict in the Shruti, in the Vedam. Vedam says, Didiya vai bhayam bhavadi. Outside Atma, if anything else you make contact with, Dudiyad vai bhayam bhavadi, it will create. Dudiya means the second one. Outside Atma, if anything else exists for us, whether it's gross body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses, or anything in this world, that's all Dudiyam. Dudiyad vai bhayam bhavadi. As long as there is a second thing existing, a second presence of another thing existing, a second thing existing, fear must exist then. Fear will come to us. If you look into the Bhagavatam also, in the second chapter you will see this mention. Second chapter, the 11th canto. Where he says here, Bhayam didiyal abhiniveshatasyal ishadabedasya vipadeyospradim. Bhayam didiyal abhiniveshatasyal ishadabedasya vipadeyospradim. So, dvidiyam, that second thing when it is existing, you will find that there is bhayam dvidiyal abhinivesha tasyal ishad abedasya vipajayo smriti. That is the result of that. So, whatever it may be, Shastram says there that as long as you have a second thing should not exist. A second thing should not exist. So, because actually there is only Atma present in this creation. Atma present in this creation. And there, as long as there is a second thing existing, the fear will develop within us. Didi yadvai bhayam bhavadi. And how did Bhikshu manage to get rid of that fear from inside? How did he do that? Because if karmam is responsible for my distress in this world, even there I don't have any freedom. Even there I don't have any freedom. Because you can see, due to our prarabdha karmam, that we are suffering in this world. So, when will the karmam finish? Karmam will take its own time to finish. Do I have to wait till then to become happy? That is a Bhikshu's question. He agrees that prarabdham has caused this body. But, if I have to wait till the prarabdham is over to become happy, Bhikshu is saying no. That let the prarabdham work its way through the body. And I have learned one thing, that all the, whether it is prarabdham or whether it is karmam in any form, if it is going to create any distress for me, that distress is caused inside the mind. So therefore I have decided to come out of the mind. That is what he is saying there. That is how he escapes from the prarabdham. He says, prarabdham let it act. Where will it act? It will act on the body. So, because of the body made of five material elements is a cause of fear inside me, I have decided that Atma is the only truth. So therefore, that I will not move away from the Atma. I will stay with the self all the time. And therefore, I am not going to wait till the prarabdham is finished. I will not be able to wait till then. That is as well as karma is concerned. That is why he mentions in that verse, Nayam janome sugudukha hedu na devadalma graham karmam. Isn't it? Karmam. Karmam, I can't wait till the karmam is over. I don't want to be affected by the karmam because it happens in the mind. I will come out of the mind. And similarly, you can see sometimes planets, we say the planets are in a bad position. For example, Saturn, which has a long-term influence in our life. 2.5 years it stays in every house. So sometimes continuously you experience that coming problems. If planets are planets are responsible, he is saying that if I have to wait till the planets move their position, I'm not going to be happy any time. That could be a long time in my life. So he is saying that I can't afford to wait that long. And even if the planets want to do something, what can they do? They can do something to my body, or something to my mind, but I am neither, nothing to do with the body or the mind. I will move away from the mind. Mind is responsible. Even if the planets are responsible for our unhappiness in world, if it affects our body, it affects our mind, still, as long as I don't allow this mind to disturb me, I will escape from the miseries of the mind. Saying this, he moved away from the mind also. what Bhikshu is saying to us, that you are feeling distressed because of your attachment. Asakti, that is the reason behind it. In the subtle level, that is the actual reason also why we suffer in this world. That is Bhikshu's opinion. Bhikshu is saying here, if you really want to be independent, you can become independent any time. Only due to attachment we are suffering. There is no other reason behind it. So this is an important topic in Vedantam also. In Vedantam they will ask this question, and it is answered also in a very unusual way that normally we don't think in that way. Just for example, in Vedantam this question comes, is it destiny or is it your effort? That's always a question, is it not? People ask this question all the time. That, what is more important? Is the destiny more important? Or is it our effort, what we put into it, is more important? So, which one of them is responsible for liberation? Is it due to my effort I'll get liberated? Or is it my destiny? Or destiny that I will get liberated, either way, which they call it as the effort or destiny, vidhi or prayatnam, they call it, vidhi or prayatnam, or destiny. Sometimes they'll ask this question, isn't it? Often people ask this question, free will or destiny, they say. Which is more powerful, free will or destiny, that question. So, the answer to that is, if you have understood it properly, you can see that actually free will itself is the destiny. Free will itself is the destiny. Or destiny itself is the free will. Destiny itself is the free will. For example, what you call it as destiny is the karmam that you have done in the previous times, in previous lifetimes. What you have done as karmam, what karmam you have done, that is what is called destiny. That is what is called, we call it as destiny. And that karmam, which has come as destiny, is staying inside all of us in the form of free will. That is that relationship between destiny and free will. People ask this question, you may have come across this, when you start saying about Krishna consciousness to people, they will always say, which is more powerful? They'll question this, is it not? Free will or destiny? Some people have a lot of free will, they believe in free will, they think that they've got all the capacity to make decisions and get things done, and they depend on their effort. And some people say, no, nothing can be done, everything is destiny. What can be done? Nothing can be done about it, it's destiny. So free will or destiny, this question is coming. What you have to remember here is that the karma what we have done in the past, that is what we call actually as destiny. And that destiny is staying inside us in the form of free will. It is staying inside in the form of will. So, for example, you can see some people say they are very good at with the language. Say somebody who speaks English very well. And why they had studied English before well. And therefore, they have a free will in the English language. And, or you can take for anything else, say somebody who is very good at dancing or music and things like that. Because that samskaram was there in them before. Or samskaram of dancing or music or anything like that, any particular art. They were present in them. In previous times they have developed that, and that is present in them. And therefore, and that dance samskaram, what they have created, has created that vasana inside. So when they come into this particular body, in the human body, you will naturally see in them that vasana coming out, immediately taking into that way of life. dancing, enjoying dances or music or whatever it may be. Where did that come from? They have done that karmam before in many lifetimes, and that has created that vasana inside, and that vasana is now coming out through them. That's all it is. That it is nothing else than that. So there they have that free will. That is the free will. That they got that free will. And that free will is their destiny. Is their destiny. So, it is from that free will that the destiny is going to happen later. Destiny is going to happen later. So in other words, your very free will is your destiny. Your very free will is your destiny. So, for example, whatever we think we have independence, freedom and all that, that itself is already written in us. That is the destiny. That is the destiny. But we think that it is the free will. Because it is from that vasana that we have created in previous lifetimes. It is from that our future karmam is going to come out from that. Is it not? Any karmam that's coming out is from the vasana that you have created from the past. From the past. So therefore, and it is through that karmam you are going to get bound here in this world. So therefore, both of these things are one and the same. Free will and the destiny, when somebody is asking that question, because he does not understand the background of free will and destiny, he is asking that question because he does not know that his destiny has been caused by the karma that he has performed before, and he is not aware of that relationship of the past with the present, of what he has done before. And therefore he is thinking that he has got complete free will. Free will is not independent. It is same as destiny. It is sitting inside us in the form of free will to come out. That's all it is. And we are thinking it is free will. Actually it's not free will. It is destiny that you have created through karma in the past that he does not know. People argue this all the time, do they not? Because they don't understand how karma works. That's the problem. There's a thing called karma, and there's a thing called vasana, there's a thing called samskaram in a person, that they are not able to accommodate that. They never thought in that direction. Because they are seeing through the body everything. Whereas in Vedantam and Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam, gross body itself is a product of that vasana, samskaram inside. And subtle body is subtle enough. But subtler than that is the causal body inside, which carries the whole stack there. So the person who is asking this question, he is not conscious of all these things inside, causal body and the subtle body. Some of them accept subtle body to some extent, but not to a large extent. But majority of the people are only asking as though they have a total independence and freedom, which they don't know that they don't have it. They don't have it. So therefore, they don't know that the so-called free will and the karma they are going to do is also coming from this so-called destiny, which is sitting inside us in the form of free will. You see? So therefore, and both of them are the same thing. Free will and destiny are one and the same thing. And that's exactly that what we call it as kartrutvam. Remember that kartrutvam. I'm the doer. These are all different expressions of the same thing. One and the same thing, you are expressing it in three, four different ways. At different stages in different forms. At one stage it is vasana. At one stage it is samskaram. Then it has become vasana. Once it is vasana, it is stacked inside in the subtle body and the causal body, karana shariram. Then it has fructified, it has become karma. And that karma, when it is ready to come out, it has become free will. And then you are calling it as free will. You are calling it at the last point as free will. But when it started the journey, the whole business, that was long, long ago, many lifetimes before, in all the different bodies, all kinds of things what we have done, that's all stacked up inside in the form of vasana inside. So that vasana shariram, which is called karana shariram, or causal body, is the whole where everything is stored up. So, and this kartrutvam, what we say is kartrutvam. That means kartrutvam is the after effect of this karma. Is it not? when we are engaged in karmam, it creates kartrutvam inside. And that kartrutvam is what we call it as paurusham. It's another word used here. Oh, we say, Krishna mentions that word, ability. That's the word used, isn't it? Ability. What is ability? Ability is called paurusham. And what is paurusham? Kartrutvam. Kartrutvam has come from this destiny and the free will and all vasanas and everything. One vastu is keep on changing through the body. And when it is going through the body at different times and different places, we call it by different names. That's all it is. That's all it is. Nothing different. But the people, when they ask this question, they are not very conscious of the background effect of all these things. And the kartrutvam is the paurusham. And bhoktrutvam is the destiny. Kartrutvam is the paurusham. And bhoktrutvam is the destiny. Bhoktrutvam is the destiny. For example, these words, kartrutva bhoktrutvam, it's sometimes difficult to understand. We will think like this, that the rishis, they are very clever about all these things. They know the subtle side of it very much. So, what they said that, how they put it like this, that everything that has happened past in your life, it's all destiny, as far as they are concerned. What has happened in your life, in your past, what has happened, it's all destiny. And whatever that's going to happen in the future, they call it as free will. That's how they solve the problem. You have to understand this. Why? Because when you develop, you will understand that all these things have nothing to do with you. This is all in relationship with our bodily existence. That is where all this free will and destiny and all other nonsense what we talk about. When you come to the spiritual level, free will is gone, destiny is gone. Let's understand that. Because they will say that what's going to happen in the future is all free will. Whatever has happened in the past is all destiny. Everything past is destiny. If you change it other way, everything was free will in the past. That's how normally people say. Past is all free will. I've done this, I've done that. And I had this plan, I had that plan. Everything worked out very well because I made that decision. Free will, all in the past. Everything that's going to happen in the future, they will say, we don't know what's going to happen. Whatever that's been decided, it will happen. We will say like that, isn't it? So, if you keep saying like that, then you will never be peaceful about anything. So, when you are talking about future, you are saying free will. And if you ask for the explanation of everything what has happened into the past, because you can't explain it properly, why it has happened, how it has happened, you will say that's all destiny. What has happened in the past is all destiny. Whatever that's going to happen in the future, you will say it's all free will. But the rishis are saying to us, they are saying to us the opposite way. You know what I'm saying? That whatever that has happened in the past, we will say that is all free will. We will say it's all free will. And what is going to happen in the future, because we don't know what will happen, we will say whatever destiny brings, I will accept it. You will put it like that. Rishis are saying no. Whatever that has happened in the past is all destiny. Whatever that's going to happen in the future is all free will. So, the last movement is this destiny. The last movement is destiny. For example, we are speaking now, last movement is gone, that's destiny now. That's done and gone. Done with. So, if you go into these people who conduct these astrologers, different types of astrologers are there. They can look into your, Kundalini. Kundali and all that, tell you about the horoscope and tell you about the past, so many things, isn't it? And you will notice one thing, sometimes they can tell a lot of things what has happened in your life in the past. But if you ask them about the future, what is going to happen, whatever they tell you, it won't happen. It's like that. Whatever they have spoken in the past, it will come true. Quite a lot of it will come true. But future, if they say something about it, it won't happen. It will not work. You know the reason for that? Because future is in Krishna's hands. Krishna won't allow you to get into that field. That is Krishna's field it is. You see? Krishna won't allow you in the future to put your hands inside that and try to manipulate that. He won't allow that. That is why even the best astrologers, when you go to them, there is so many different kinds of people, isn't it? Some palmistry, some people Nadi Jolsyam. That is this, looking into them. There are people who have got records of your, they say, Brigus, Jolsyam. Yeah, they have that. And so many people like that. And different places. They have the record of all living entities. When you go inside and they ask you for the date of birth or something, and they'll pull out some information from their records, and they will tell you a lot of things what happened in your life in the past. A lot of things what they spoke about the past may be true, but if they say anything about the future, it won't come true. It won't come true. The reason is that is Krishna's field. Krishna won't let anybody to tamper with that, to interfere in that. That is in Krishna's hands. Krishna decided some way, and there everything will go wrong. Because if the future also becomes perfect like that, according to the astrologer, then we don't need Krishna there anymore. It's God's plan, isn't it? And Krishna will make sure that it doesn't happen. You can understand the reason behind it. If future is also written down in the Shastram somewhere, that this is how it's going to happen, then why do you need Ishvara? Ishvara sarvabhudanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtani brahmayan sarvabhudani yandrarudhani mayaya. It is him, Krishna is running the show, not the astrologer, not the planets, not the karmam, not the kalam. Krishna is responsible. So future is Krishna's field, that is Ishvara's mandalam, Krishna's field, that is. And But what has happened in the past also is Krishna's field, but we can now call it as destiny. We can call it as destiny now. But that is also Krishna's field. It is also not independent. And what is going to happen in the future, we call it as ability or free will or Paurusham or whatever way you want to call it. So rishis know this very well. Rishis knows this well, more than the astrologers, more than anybody else. And therefore they will keep using this word one after the other, one after the other. And at the particular time, whatever that is required, they'll use that word accordingly. Because once you come to the knowledge of the self, self-realization, all of them is useless. Which one? Astrology is useless, then the free will is useless, destiny is useless, karma is useless, ability is useless, everything is useless. When it comes to the knowledge of the self and self-realization, there it's a completely different situation. Completely different situation. So, as far as knowledge of the self is concerned, free will and the destiny is all useless. Free will and the destiny is all useless. Because there, the only thing is how to get this idea across, that tatvamasi, that we are Purnamadam, Purnamidam, Purnal, Purnamudachyade, Purnavastu inside, Purnasya, Purnamadaya, Purnamevavashishyade. That Purnada, getting back, is spiritual life. Getting back that Purnada, perfection inside. Destiny, who has the destiny? Destiny is for the false ego, not for the self. Self has no destiny, is it not? Destiny, we keep saying. Who has the destiny? Who is the one who has the destiny? False ego. Is it not? And similarly, ability. Whose ability? Paurusham, we talk about ability in a person. That is also belongs to the false ego. False ego's ability. False ego's destiny. You have to call it that way. It has nothing to do with the self. We have to separate all these things. Otherwise, anything happens to our ego, we take it as happened to the self. Anything happens to happiness or distress or destiny or free will or all these things, where do we go and put that? On the self. Is it not? We go and put that on the self. But self is not responsible. Actually, when we throw it at the self, actually it's going and falls on the false ego. We throw it on the self, but goes and falls on the false ego. Angaram. That's where it gets hit. It doesn't go to the self. It doesn't go to the Atma. That is why Upanishads are always repeatedly stressing this point to us. So this very question, you know, when you ask this question, free will or destiny, when you are in your very, very early stages in spiritual life, when you come to spiritual life, they think that by asking that question, they can corner you. That's the idea behind asking that question. Because they don't know. They're thinking that, let me see what he's got to say. That's their attitude, the people who are asking this question. But once you understand spiritual life properly, that Atma, nothing to do with all these things. He is independent. Swaraad Bhavadi, isn't it? But that independence, but if you tell him that there is a thing called a Ahankaram inside, a false ego inside, then he doesn't want to hear that. He thinks, oh no, I am a very a decent person. I don't have any ego inside, he will say like that. But he does not understand what ego means even. So what do you do? So that's the situation. So, similarly, as I said, that destiny does not affect the self. Destiny is for the ego. Similarly, that effort, what you put on in life, Paurusham it is called, Prayatnam or Paurusham, that is also for the ego. It's not for the self, doesn't put any effort. And self doesn't require any kind of pavirusham or ability. Similarly, the one who is experiencing the happiness and distress, which is the false ego, ahangaram, you are not that either. So, you are not the free will, you are not the destiny, you are not the false ego, and you are not the ability, you are not the karma, none of them, and neither the happiness or the distress is you. It goes into that false ego. False ego is the happiness and distress. So, there is one substance which is what is called adhishtanam. Adhishtanam means the basis of all these things, what's happening inside. And his nature is pure consciousness, bodham, avabodham. And that, in other words, in Upanishads they call the word as chinmatra. Chinmatra, Chidrasam, Chinmatra. And that is our real identity. Not this ego, not this free will, not this destiny, not this false ego. None of them is us. Our identity is purely with that pure consciousness inside. And once you have known that, yenaiva hi na yatnaha, then once you have known that, naiva vidhihi na yatnaha, there is no destiny, there is no effort, there is no free will after that. Once you have known, realized that self, everything finishes there. But when you are staying in this world as false ego, at that time you have free will, you have destiny, and you will have all the other things. You can't have only take one thing out of that. And for example, if you say, I only want the Pavirusham or Prayatnam alone, that's not possible. When you are talking about ahangaram, from the platform of ahangaram, from the platform of ego, you can't say only one thing I will have, free will. That's what people are asking the question. When they are asking the question, you have to know that they are asking in reference to ahangaram. And then you have to tell them that from the platform of ego, there will be destiny and there will be free will. You can't come out of it. Both are there. But once you come back to the position of the soul, ultimately in the realization of the self, at that time there is neither destiny, there is no free will either. There is no free will either. So, but in the platform of false ego, both of them are there and that will be mixed. This you can understand if you look, think about it in this way. For different people, different realizations in life comes at different times. For example, and that's a very interesting thing to watch. So, Krishna, who is inside us as Antaryami, he is using us like a machine. And some people will say that if you look at everyone's life, a man's life, or people who have had a lot of ambition in life, if you ask them this question, they will say that up to age of 30, 35, they will say, it's me, everything. I managed this. So much faith in their ability, what they have done in their life and what they could do in their life, this and that. The same person, after about 40 years old, you ask him the same, he will. By then his realization comes, start kicking in. Slowly, this is common with everybody. I mean, anyone will agree with this, how it happens, is it not? Up to about 35, 40 years, little bit differences may be there. But people will say that when they are very strong in their body, mind and ability, full of faith at that time, if you tell them anything, they will, if you say about destiny, they will say, oh, it's a weakness in a man to think that everything is destiny. You have all the right to have the free will, they will say. And you can do whatever you want. You can, like the American presidents will stand there and tell you that you can do what you want, and they'll give you such lectures, don't they? And that you can, everybody can become the president of America, and so much freedom has been given, and this, that, and the other. So many, all leaders talk like that. And they'll make you feel as though you have so much freedom to do what you want to do, and to want what you want to become in this world. But if you, and the same person, after some time, if you ask him, he will say exactly the opposite. The same person will say, he says there, up to about 35 years, 40 years old, everything is free will. After 35 or 40, it's all destiny in life. So who is playing the game? Antaryami inside. He, using the same body, same person, he is making this game about us. Up to 30, it is a common experience. You can ask so many people, they'll tell you this. I mean, if somebody is not saying like that, that means he is a realized soul, that he has a good realization. But by and large, you can see in the early years in life, up to about 30, 35, you will have a lot of faith in your free will and destiny and ability and all that. By about 35, 40, it all dwindles one after the other. And then you start accepting that it's all this, because you know you're on your way out. Isn't it? So you start accepting the truth, then a little bit you recognizing that there's not a lot I can do here. There's no point in me trying to manipulate situation. That realization comes. So this will keep on changing like this. And up to that time, when you get to old, about 75, 80 years old, if you talk to them what they had gone through in their life, and if you go and tell them your problem, they won't say anything. Because they know very well what has happened in their life. So they will not encourage you to go and to put all the way out to solve the problem. Because it's not, cannot be done. Only by then do you become a little bit mature and start realizing that there is a higher force operating. Everything is not as easy or as open as we thought about it. It's not straightforward. Material nature, prakriti, maya is not straightforward with us. We will realize it one way. Without any studying shastram, through living in this world, we will learn this lesson. Without any studying. So Upanishads are, know these things well. Rishis knows this very well. So, therefore, these people who say in the beginning free will, they start speaking all destiny afterwards. When their ego gets a little bit hurt, it is then there. So they will say both, the same person who was talking free will before is now saying destiny. Is it not? This happens all the time. So the secret is like this. What is the secret behind it is that whatever at particular time in your life, whatever that, what is that is operating inside, Antaryami will say to you, Antaryami will say, you get along with it. That's what it is. Antaryami is dictating to you this, whether it is destiny or free will, or destiny or your ability, whatever that is. So, and when Antaryami decides that, you start going along with it, and then you become arguing based on that. The person who is arguing in the beginning of free will, from inside Antaryami sanctions that. So when Antaryami sanctions, you go upon arguing that free will, in favor of the free will. Later on, when Antaryami says, no, it's not free will, it's destiny, then you keep arguing in terms of destiny. But who is making the decision? Antaryami is making the decision. Upanishad you have to read, then you will see these things. You won't read it anywhere else. It's only in the Upanishads they talk about this. What they say there is that you will become Vadi. Vadi means you become that Vadi. Like we say Mayavadi. Similarly, you become that Vadi. That Vadi. Which Vadi? Vadi for the free will or Vadi for the destiny? We become free will Vadi or destiny Vadi according to the Antaryami's decision inside. You don't have any freedom there. The same Antaryami who played the game in the first time saying free will and encouraged us to do everything in this world, that same Antaryami becomes a destiny Vadi after 35-40 years. He puts this argument and we become that Vadi then. Destiny Vadi. So, one, yam bhavaye darshayet astu tam bhavam tvatu pashyati. Gaudapada Kariga. Gaudapada Acharya mentioned this in his Mandukya Kariga. That Gaudapada Acharya says there, in Mandukya Kariga, yam bhavaye darshaye dastu tam bhavam tadu pashyati. Whatever bhavam that comes inside us, accordingly you have to take, go along with that. You don't have any choice there. So, then the Alpadeva means Antaryami inside. Whatever bhavam he is producing inside us, along with that you have to accept that, and according to the time, you become the supporter of that particular bhavam. Whether it is free will bhavam or the destiny bhavam. Whatever, it's a bhavam inside, isn't it? It's our bhavam. That is nature in us. Our realization, you can say, in that time is dependent on the Antaryami. So everything, even in our very existence, just like when you realize Krishna, who realizes? Antaryami gives that realization, is it not? Krishna is inside the heart, he gives the realization. Similarly, these bhavam, what we go through as the free will, destiny, those bhavam also comes from Antaryami. Why does he do like that? Gaudapada Acharya mentions that. He says, Devanyesha Subhavoyam. Devanyesha Subhavoyam. Subhavoyam means, he's saying there, that is the nature of Antaryami. He wants to exercise full control all the time on us. And if you are intelligent enough, you should recognize that early as possible in life and not to feel disturbed over it. He is making the decision. And once you have accepted that, it's a big success in life. Then you don't feel any more distressed about anything. Because he is... So therefore he says here that is his subhavam. Subhavam, sometimes he says that, sometimes he says kalam, time, kalam. In the Bhagavatam you will see these things mentioned. I think it's in the second canto or in the third canto. Somewhere it says, when creation process is discussed, few things are spoken. Kalam, karmam, subhavam, jiva. All these things are one and the same. Kalam, karmam, subhavam, jivam. That sometimes they will call it as kalam, time. Sometimes they will say it is karmam. And sometimes they will say it is destiny, vidhi. And sometimes it will say effort, prayatnam. And we have only what we can do. If Antaryami says to sing the song, you have to sing. You don't have any choice there. If the Antaryami says to you, dance, you have to dance. You haven't got a choice there. And if Antaryami says learn Sanskrit, you have to learn Sanskrit. And if Antaryami says learn computer, you have to learn computer. That's how it is. There is nothing you can do. You will see, you will go all the way out to do it. But where is that encouragement coming from? From the Antaryami. It is coming here. So, Gaudapada Acharya didn't say computer, because at that time it wasn't there. Gaudapada Acharya is saying to us that Antaryami inside, who is completely independent, Swaraj is fully independent, that according to his desire, everything is happening in us. Everything is happening in us. And knowing that he is present there, Devo Bhutva Devam Aradhayed, he is saying. Knowing that he is present there, offer your respects and worship him. That is the answer to the question. And if you have known him well, then you have become independent. You have become independent. Because then you know that you are not independent, that he is making the decision, and you won't feel that free will and destiny and all that, things will go away. So, knowing that Deva, Devo Bhutva Devam Aradhayat, knowing him and realizing him, that is our profit, and that's our freedom, what has been given to us. And that Deva inside, Antaryami inside, is not the mind, he's not the body, he's not the intelligence, he's not the karmam either. He's not the karmam, nothing, none of them. And that is Nitya Vastu, Nitya Swarupa Vastu. And recognizing him, that he is running everything, and then knowing that, develop Brahma Vidya, or knowledge of the self. That is the freedom and that Krishna has given to us. Know that Antaryami is doing everything through this body, mind, intelligence. Keeping, recognizing his presence inside and his control over everything, develop the knowledge of the self, Brahma Vidya. That's a freedom Krishna has given to us. There is no other freedom. It is no point in trying to ask all these questions, whether it's free will or destiny and all that. This is all coming from a totally mundane understanding of life. When you have a little deeper level understanding of the presence of the soul and the influence of the vasana, karmam, svabhavam, jagrat, sapnam, sushupti, stulam, sushmam, karanam, shariram, and the flow of things, how it happens through this body, which is one of the 8.4 million bodies, what we have gone through. This asking this question that I've got free will or destiny, something does not mean much, does not have much of an influence. So, those people who have come to that understanding, they are the fortunate one. Tal jnanam prashamakaram id indriyanam tat jnayam upanishatsu nischidartham te dhanyaha bhuvi paramartha nischidaha sheshastu brahmanilaye paribhramandi dhanyashtakam. There is a word, 8 verses, Acharya Swamiji wrote this, where he mentions that tal jnanam prashamakaram id indriyanam, that knowledge which is beyond the senses, tal jnayam upanishatsu nischidartham, that knowledge which is concluded in the Upanishads, te dhanyaha, they are fortunate people, bhuvi paramartha nischidaha, that they are fully fixed upon the truth, sheshastu brahma nilaye paribhramandi, the rest of the people will be completely brahmam. Brahmam means this illusion in their head, and they will go on doing, living in this world, paribhramandi. Paribhramandi means living in this world in fear, all the time in fear. So, so, first of all, to control the senses, and talknyayu upanishad nishchidartham, what is that is spoken in the Upanishads, that alone has to be known, has to be known. Te dhanyaha, they are the fortunate people. Paramartha nishchidaha, sheshastu brahmanilaye paribhramandi. So, this is the goal. And that is what Bhikshu is saying there. Also in the Bhikshu Gita, he is saying there that sukha dukkha prado ananyo. If you look into that verse, how Bhikshu, after realization, what he had to say. What did he say? He says there, if you look at that verse, 23, chapter 23. Sukha dukkha prado ananyo purushasya alpa vibhrama mitra udasina ribhava samskara samsara tamasakradaha. Verse 11, 23, 60. This is after the realization. After he has come out of the mind, he threw the mind away. And then he is saying, Sukadukkapradonanyo purushasyalpavibhramaha. Sukham dukham doesn't exist actually. Purushasyalpavibhramaha. Why it has happened when? Due to alpa vibhramam, forgetfulness of the self. Mitra udasinaripava samsaratamasakradaha. Remember the three categories of people we have in this world, isn't it? Three columns. Friend, enemy, and indifferent. Udasinan. Mitram, iripu, udasinan. Everyone in this world you can put into one of these columns, is it not? One of these columns you can put them in. Somebody is my friend, one column. Somebody is my enemy, next column. Another one who is walking through the street, I have nothing to do with him, is in the third column. So, mitra udasina ribhava and samsara tamasakrada. And when you have these three, you are in material existence. Actually, none of them are true. There is no friend, there is no enemy, there is no indifferent. Samsara tamasakradaha. That is what he is saying there. So, because Bhikshu is saying here that sukha dukham, happiness and distress, all that is dundvam, duality it is. Sukham, where are you experiencing this sukham dukham? It is in the mind, isn't it? Dundvam is in the mind, duality, happiness and distress is in the mind, and that is all prakriti. It's all prakriti. Whereas the nature of Atma is anandam, not sukha dukham. Sukadukham is not in the Atma. Sukadukham is also in the Ahankaram experiences that. Sukham dukham. Ahankaram tells you, I am feeling happy now. When one Ahankaram is asking another Ahankaram, how are you? The other Ahankaram saying, I am fine, he says. Another Ahankaram is answering this. So Ahankaram is asking, Ahankaram is answering. Atma is not asking, Atma is not answering. Because neither of them are in the platform of the soul. So therefore, but you can see here that in the sushupti state, in the deep sleep state, you are experiencing not sukham dukham. What are you experiencing? That is anandam it is. That comes from the soul. That is what you are experiencing the sushupti stage. In the deep sleep, it is not the same happiness what you are experiencing in the vacant state. In the vacant state, you are experiencing sukham, which is the happiness related to the false ego. In the deep sleep state, you are experiencing anandam, which is coming from the soul. Totally different things. But we misunderstand everything. For us, everything is one. Isn't it? Anandam and the sukham in the vacant state is all one for us. So therefore, we don't understand that difference. And we need to know that, because that's what Bhikshu is saying to us, that the Atma by nature is anandam. Mind by nature is sukadukham. Sukadukham is in the mind. So, Atma has the swarupam and that anandam, and that every night in the deep sleep we are experiencing that. And sukham is present in this Atma. Anandam is present in the Atma. Nirvisheshaha. And you will see there in the 57th verse also, he mentions that in the Bhikshugita. Na kenajil kvabhika tanjanasya dvandoparaga paradaparasyaham yadahama samsrati rubinasyal devam prabuddhona bibhedi bhudaihi. That's that he's talking about. He's saying there, na kenajil kvabhika tanjanasya dvandoparaga paradaparasyaham yadahama samsrati rubinasyal devam prabuddhona bibhedi bhudaihi. That in here he is saying there that the ahankaram alone has got birth and death. Who is taking birth? Who is dying? Ahankaram. You know that in the Bhagavad Gita in the second chapter Krishna opened the topic with this, that absolute platform Atma has no birth, no death, he said. When later on Krishna says in the same chapter, Jadasya hi dhruvo omrityo, dhruvam janma mradasya jam, tasmadamari haryarte natvam shojitam arhasi. When it comes there, people always get confused. Then who is taking birth? Earlier he says there is no birth or death. Then he is saying that one who is dead, he has to take birth again. So ahankaram has to die, ahankaram has to take birth. And ahankaram has to experience happiness. Ahankaram has to experience distress. and samsruti. He uses the word samsruti. Yadaham va samsruti rubinasyal devam prabuddho na bibhedi bhudaihi. That samsruti, samsruti means samsaram. Who has the samsaram? Ahangaram. Ahangaram has material existence. And this, what is the nature of this ahangaram? If you ask that question, remember, we mentioned that many times. Ahangaram is like the child of a barren woman. Barren woman, she in reality doesn't exist. Barren woman cannot have children, isn't it? So similarly, this ahangaram is something doesn't exist. But they give so many examples in the Vedantam that there is a, while walking in the night, there is a post standing there which is painted white. You are thinking that it is some ghost standing there. So, but when you put the torchlight on and looked at it carefully, you found that it's only a post. But otherwise you misunderstood that it's like a ghost. So similarly, ahangaram is like that. If you properly inquire about that ahangaram, you will know that it is not real. It's not real. And there is only Atma present inside. And the nature of Atma is Nityashuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. That is its nature. So, once you have known that, that I am that Atma, not this ahangaram, then you are free. So, ahangaram, false ego is like this. The moment you accept the ego, it will put all restrictions on you. You see that? Once you accept the ego, it will put all the restrictions on you. Do you understand that? That means that when you are accepting as ego, when you identify as ego, what's happening? That means you are accepting and recognizing it. Then happiness and distress comes. Ragadvesham comes. All due to that ahangaram inside. And similarly, dvandvam, all dvandvam will come in your dealings with the world. Somebody is a good person, somebody is a bad person. Something is good, bad, right, wrong. And happiness, distress. These dualities will all come due to recognition of ahangaram. And once you recognize him, then you have to accept that all kind of this dvandva means restrictions. Restrictions on us. We start discriminating things in different ways. Veda buddhi will come. All this is due to ahangaram. All this is due to ahangaram. So, all other kinds of what we call inhibitions will come with that. And the moment you recognize and accept ahangaram, everything will come. And including rebirth. Including rebirth. Otherwise there is no rebirth. People ask this question all the time. Oh, in your religion, you take rebirth again, you come back again, don't you? They ask. They think it's fun. People are asking that question. They think it's all fun, coming back. And well, then they will give you a kind of a nod, saying that it's difficult to accept your version of that. Because they are trying to understand your religion. They got their religion, they are asking your religion. So they are asking you, they'll ask you all these kind of questions, isn't it? So then they'll say that you're going to come back then again. And then if you can come, you tell them you can come back as a cow or a dog or anything. Wow, that's an amazing religion, they say. That, so you can see how people think from the surface. Everything is on the surface, is it not? But if you go deeper level, like the Bhikshu is saying to us, he is a realized person. And he is telling us that you have recognized this ahangaram, therefore all these problems have come. If you don't recognize ahangaram, false ego, in a person, it's not there. Atma has nothing to do with any of these things. You don't take birth, you don't die even. If you say to that person, oh, you're going to die one day, he will agree with you that you're going to die one day. Because he's only seeing the body, he doesn't know anything else. So, including the rebirth, transmigration of the soul is also due to ahangaram. Due to ahangaram. That means, from one body to another body, this is that ghost that travels. Which one? Ahangaram. He is the one who travels from one body to another. Not Atma. Atma is not traveling. Atma is present everywhere. But ahangaram is traveling from one body to another. And it is he who creates another birth for us. And it is he who stops our birth also. and he is ready to give you another birth, and he is standing ready for that, that ahankaram inside. And once, that here Krishna is saying here, you can see in that verse, he says, Devam prabuddho na bibhedi budhaihi. Who says this? Bhikshu. Bhikshu is saying, Devam prabuddho na bibhedi budhaihi. One who has woken up from this, knows that he is not ahankaram, is not false ego, and one who has realized his pure identity as the self, for him there is no such thing called ahankaram. That doesn't exist. Only Brahman exists there, and that is what has happened to the bhikshu also. Bhikshu also. And he says, and that is how finally he says, Edam sa astaya paralpanishtam adhyasidam purvatamair maharshivi aham tarishyami durandavaram namo tamo mukundangri nishevayaivaha. The last verse. Edam samastaya paralpanishtam. That is that state. Paralpanishta, situated on the platform of the soul. Edam sa astaya paralpanishtam adhyasidam purvatamair maharshibhi. Purvatamair maharshibhi. What did the bhikshu do? Bhikshu sat in that paralpanishta. He sat in that paralpanishta. Edam samastaya paralpanishtam. And did he do that immediately, straight away like that? No. Adhyasidam purvatamair maharshibhi. He's saying, I did not find it out. He's saying. Have you noticed that? I did not find it out. Adhyasidam purvatamair maharshibhi. Real souls, rishis, sages in the past, they have found out. I didn't find out. He says, Adhyasidam purvatamair maharshibhi. Rishis in the past, they have done this and shown to us. I followed them. That's all I did, he says. It's not something I have found out. See how honest he is. He didn't say, I'm going to get it patented now. That because I found out some new thing. We will do that, won't we? We'll patent it first, so that nobody else can put a claim on that. He didn't say that. He said, what the rishis have done in the past, from them I have understood this, he says. So, and he never said, I have invented this. Then, and that is why you will always notice this. Any realized souls will never speak in terms of they have done it. Anything. I have done it, they don't want to make any claim. They say, I have followed them in the past. Adhyasidam purvatamair maharshibhi. Purvatamair maharshibhi. In the rishis in the past have walked through this route, I have followed them. That's how he says there. He could have said, I have realized this. No. He's saying, Adhyasidam purvatamair maharshibhi. What the rishis have done in the past, I have just followed them. That's all he's saying. And that is the result. And therefore what happened? Aham tarishyami durandavaram tamo mukundangri nishevayaiva. I managed to escape in that way. By following them, I managed to escape that. No rishis will never say to us that they have found a new path. They have found it. If anybody says to you they have found a new path, they are bluffing. There is no new path in this. There is only one path, what the rishis have laid out from ancient times, from time immemorial. What that knowledge that has come through Upanishads, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. Even Krishna, when he says this, he says, it's not my way, he says. Rishis are saying like this. Just look at the way they present it, so that people do not feel the ownership of anything. They don't like taking the ownership of things. It is the rishis' approach. So you will see this in the Veka Chudamani also. In the same thing he mentions like that. Ma bhaishtam vidvamstava nastyavayaha samsara sindho tarano tarano stupayaha yene ivayata yadayosyavaram tameva margam tava nirdishami. The disciple or the disciple is going to the spiritual master and saying to him, he is in great distress because of the problems of this transmigration of the soul and the distress what he is experiencing in this world. What did the spiritual master say to him? He says to him, Ma Bhaishta, don't get frightened. He said, why? He says here, Samsara Sindhor Tarano Supayaha. There is a way of escaping from this material life, material existence, samsara. There is a way of escaping from here. And Upayaha, and there is a very good path, and I will tell you what that is. Why? Because
Yena Iva Yadha Yadayosmyabharam Tameva Margam Tavanardishami.
How did Acharya say there? He says to him,
Yena Iva Yadha Yadayosmyabharam Tameva Margam Tavanardishami.
He says, Purva Suris. Purva Suris means the rishis of the past have, not one, many rishis in the past. Rishis means Brahmanishta, Brahmavidya, who have acquired this Brahmavidya, realized souls. I will put you into the same track they have gone through. You also go in the same route, and they have escaped, and you will also escape.
Tameva margam tava nirdishami,
he says. That is how Acharya replied him. He says to him, this disciple who came and asked him that, I am suffering in this world, is there any escape route from here, from this material world, fear, birth, death, old age, this is all other problems of this world. Is there any way I can come out of this? He said. So the spiritual master is saying to him that get frightened. Already there is a route available. The road is there. I will put you into that route. You go, others have escaped, you will also escape. This is the protection given. He never said that I have found out another process for you, tailor-made for you. He didn't say that. He said there's only one path, and that path is already open. The royal road, they call it, Rajapada. The royal road is already open. Get into that road and follow them, and that road will take you there. He says there. So, and that is the most authentic path. That is the most, the rishi's path. It's the most confirmed by the experience of the innumerable sages. You remember in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in several places, Shuka Brahmarshi lists all the sages, doesn't he? Have you noticed that? Beginning, the first canto itself, when Parikshit Maharaj was going to give up his body, there is two verses there. Two verses. Atharvasishtaschavanascharadva. There is a number of persons mentioned there in the first canto. Then if you go into the second or third canto, again Brahmastuti you will see there, Brahmanarada Sambhadam, a list of sages mentioned there. Like that, again and again and again, you will see a list of great, great personalities. They are all the rishis, the sages. It is they who have, it's not one or two persons. As far as we know, if you look at the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, more or less you can list about 400 personalities, sages, rishis, who have followed this path of the rishis. And they have all walked through the same road. And they also became successful. They all became successful and escaped from this world, from material existence. Get into the same track, and that is the authentic route. Get into that road and travel, and you will also escape. So this issue is always there with realized soul. You will notice this. And it is wrong for us to say that it is somebody's teachings. It's nobody's teachings. It is the rishis have given us this knowledge, and those who are coming and teaching us, they are actually delivering the message to us. Message is the same. That message, what the rishis have given to this world, that's a message again and again delivered to us at different times. At different times by different personalities. If you start putting these messages or the teachings to some individual person, then it has lost its purity. Purity is gone. And nobody wants to take that on their own shoulders. So sometimes you will see there's one book in case of Rama Maharshi's case, he wrote a book once called Who I Am. This book, Who Am I, or some, this one book. So the personality who wrote the, what do they call, preface, isn't it? Preface, yeah. So who wrote the preface, there was one school teacher for that. TKS they call him. So TKS wrote the preface for that book, Who Am I. And in that book he wrote so many things, and finally he wrote like this, that those who read this book, they will be encouraged to come to the inquire about the knowledge of the self, and they will realize the self. And then he concluded saying that, I strongly believe that they will succeed in their effort, and I pray for their success. Like that he concluded the preface. So after writing everything, he took it to the Maharshi to look at it. Maharshi read everything, but only when it came to this last line, he cut it off. He said there that you are thinking you will believe that he will have. He said, no, they will have it. They have to have it, he said. The rishis, when they say something, if it is not true, they won't speak about it. They don't want to mislead us. That's not their goal. So he said that you have to write like this. He said, those who take to this path, success is guaranteed, he said. To change that, he said. Put it like that. He corrected it like that. So that is a process. Many, many people in the past has gone. They have realized the truth in the same process. And that will valid then, that is valid even now, it will be valid in the future as well. You will see there that Ma Bhavishta Vidvam Tava Tavanas Apayaha Samsara Sindhur Taranasyupaya Yenaiva Yada Yadayosmiparam Tameva Markam Navanardishami Tava Nardishami. That route I will show it to you. That's all I can do. He says, I can show you that route, but you have to go in that, travel in that route and get there. That is your responsibility, he says like that. So, and that is what, you see that exactly what Bhikshu is saying here. Edam samastaya paralmanishtam adhyasidam purvatamair maharshibhi. Maharshi means sages, rishis. Purvatamai, in the past they have done it. They have made it. Purvatamair maharshivi, aham tarishyami. I will also follow the same truth. Durandaparam tamo mukundangri nisheva eva. Why did he say that? Purvatamair Maharshivi. Reason is this, that this is the route the rishis have gone. And not one rishis, many, many rishis. Sudeva Goswami, Vedavyasa Maharshi, Parashara Maharshi, Vishwamitra, Vasishta, Bhrigu, Bharadwaj, Atri. Endless list there, is it not? Kanva Maharshi. They have all followed that route, and that is authentic. That is authentic. And by saying that, he's saying, you don't need to be frightened. You don't need to be frightened. Because if you ask the question, has anybody gone in that route before? All you can answer is this, that suppose you say, oh, well, I don't know. There is a process mentioned like this, but if anybody has succeeded in that, then we will have some doubt about it. Whether the route is the correct route I am going, is it not? But therefore, they will always say, that route, all these people have gone before. to guarantee us. Suppose I am asking the route to somewhere else, and somebody says to me, I think you can go this way, you will get there. That's not a very guaranteed route, is it? But if a person says, guaranteed, many people go through this way, and that's how you get there. That's exactly. With full confidence, others are going, so you can follow them, you will get there. An extra guarantee that is, more than asking a person and he's saying to you that this route should be okay. Somebody says, if you go, I'm sure you'll get there. He says, that's not a guarantee. But if you know that there are other people who have travelled in that route and got there, and if you're asking a person, and he will tell you guaranteed, I've gone there in that route. So that extra guarantee is that word, Purvatamayar Maharshibhi. It's an additional guarantee to tell us that this route, what I have spoken about, what the Bhikshu is saying, it is not something new. Others have done that before. It's not me the first time. I'm not the first person who is doing that. Bhikshu Gita. He's saying in the past others have done it, they've got there, I will also go in the same route. To make us fixed in our acceptance of that. That's what he's saying here. So, suppose we are funny people. What we if we tell you all these things, people will say, still doubt. If we tell you to go to Mars, they're already queuing up. Nobody has gone to Mars. And the people who are sending them, they have not gone. They're sending somebody, telling, oh, you'll get there. If anything happens on the way, don't come back. Don't take me to the court afterwards. These people who are sitting in anywhere, doesn't matter, whether it is in Sriharikota in India or in Cape Canaveral in Panama, all these people who are doing this business, sending people to Mars, Moon, everywhere. They have not gone. None of them have gone there. But they'll make big, big statements. You go, we'll give you all the help. We'll teach you how to go there. He hasn't gone himself, and he's teaching them how to go there. And if anything happens on the way, what will happen? You won't come back, that's all, isn't it? Nothing else will happen. This is their Mars mission. Here, our Bhikshu is saying to us, this path is so clear and it is so established, if you follow, you will get there. But we won't accept that. Even though others have gone there. It's not like a Mars mission, I'm saying. This Bhikshu Gita is not like a Mars mission. Mars mission, you can doubt whether you will get there or not. It's not guaranteed. Apparently, a lot of people have already signed up to go to Mars. If you tell them about this, Bhikshu Gita's message, they won't accept that. So, as I said before, the person who is sending them, they have not gone. They're sitting there right in front of their computer, pressing the button and putting the other man, poor fellow, in the whole space vehicle, whatever that's called, 20, 30 billion miles away. Go there and find out if there is still the rock is all there in order, water there or gas there, whatever it is, and then come back this side. So people are like this, what to do? This is their brain. Huh? That's what's nothing can do about it. So... One situation it is like that. This spiritual life is also like that, isn't it? Training people in that way. So training is like this. So how when you go there, how to live there, isn't it? So so Krishna says here that here edam samastaya paralma nishtam adhyasidam purvatamayar maharshibhi. After talking about Purvatamayar Maharshibhi, he is saying, Aham Tarishyami. I will do exactly the same thing. I will follow them. Duranda Param Tamo Mugundangri Nisheva Eva, he says. So, just when we talk about this, because it's this Mars mission is all very popular these days, isn't it? So they are going out there to find out what will happen there when we get there. Will there be water there? Or will there be air there? We don't know anything at the moment, isn't it? They're going to find out, will there be water there? To all this distance, billions and billions of miles, they're going there to find out if there is water there. So, and these people are trained here. So when you get there, how to live there? All training there. And then they put them in that, what do they call that, space thing? Yeah. Sputnik or whatever that is, in that, and then throw them out, go, now you go. And And there are people to send them like that. When there are people to go also as well. So first thing you have to send them, those who are sending them there. Before you sending the others. You have to send those ones who are sending them. They should be sent there. So that route is nobody unknown to us. And we still, people have still desire to go there. So Upanishad says there, this process, what is Bhishma saying, it is called Devayanam in the Bhagavad Gita. You remember? In Bhagavad Gita there is Devayanam and Pitriyanam. Devayanam is what he is talking about. Devayanam. Remember Devayanam, Pitriyanam? Two processes in which you travel after leaving the body.
Satyena labhyaha tapasa hyeshaha almaha samyak jnaneha brahmachariyena nityam andashariye jyotirmayohi shubhro yam pasyanti yadaha kshina doshaha shruti.
Upanishads is saying there that you don't have any doubts about this. Any doubts about this. Satyena labhyaha. If you are truthful, you will get there. Through austerities, tapasa, and through knowledge, alma, through the knowledge of the self, through brahmacharyam, celibacy, and in this material body, there is that yapasyandi, you are seeing that soul who is present inside, and who is that? Many, many rishis have gone there. How did they go there? Kshina doshaha. Kshina doshaha means that all their dosham, dosha means the impurities inside, they got rid of that. That is what Bhikshu is also saying to us. What are the impurities? Impurities are, the main impurities we remember yesterday, avidya. Avidya means what? The mind. They all manage to throw the mind away from inside. When the mind is gone, then Atma is situated in its pure state of consciousness and there won't be any problems. You will be situated forever in the platform of the soul. So that is why this whole Bhikshu Gita is centered around the mind. Centered around the mind. So, Kshina Doshaha. Satyameva jayade nam ranam satyena panda tado devayanaha yena kramandi krishayo atma kamaha yatra satyasya varam nidhanam. So, satyam, satyasya param nidhanam, only truth will prevail at the end. Falsity will not work. Falsity will not succeed at the end. So, due to truthfulness, you know what truthfulness means? Truthfulness means that not that you are telling the lie or the truth. That's not in that sense. Here, truthfulness means that you are holding on to the pure knowledge of the Upanishads, Vedic knowledge. Upanishad's conclusion. If you are following that, you are truthful. But if you are not following that, you are not truthful. Because truth is based on this understanding. Remember that verse in the Bhagavad Gita also. Nasadu vidyade bhavo, nabhavo vidyade sada. Ubhayavarabhi drishtvandam stanayor tatudarshivi. These rishis are the tatudarshi. That tatudarshi word Krishna uses there, that rishis are the tatudarshi. So, ubhayoravi drishtandam stanayor tattvadarshivi. So, tattvadarshis are telling us, if you are holding on to the truth, which is sat, you cannot lose it. You will get to the destiny. That is truthfulness. If you are holding on to the truth, what the rishis have revealed to us in Upanishads, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam, everywhere, if you are holding on to that, you are truthful. Not that what you say, truth or not in the world. That's in the Vyavaharam. That's different. The truthfulness in spiritual life is, if you are holding on to that, understanding what the rishis have given us, and if you are following up that, you are a truthful person. Otherwise not. So, Devayanam, due to that truthfulness, the way gets open for you. And that's called Devayanam. Devayanam means that open road, Purvasuri. Purvasuri means persons who have travelled in that path before. They are called Purvasuri. Purvasuri. They are called Purvasuri. Remember this word Suri? Suri is there. Muhyandiyal Suraya in the Bhagavadam. Muhyandiyal Suraya. Muhyandiyal Suraya means even realized souls are sometimes, even they have no doubts about that. Janmadhyase Roinvayadidharadas Chatesh Abhijnaswaran Tene Brahma Hridaya Adigavaye Muhyandiyal Suraya. Even sometimes suris get in this illusion about Atma. So here what he is saying, Purva suris means those who have traveled in that path and got into that destination. And he says here that they have passed through this Devayanam process, that Devayanam what is spoken here. And if you have performed your upasana or executed the spiritual life based on this understanding, that they will come and they will take you through the path of Devayanam. That Devayana Panthava, that means that's a process, path of Devayanam. And you can travel through that with full confidence, And you don't have to go like you go to Mars in the machine, in the packed up inside the machine and all that. Devayanam. So Devayanam is that if you have traveled in this path, what will happen is in Devayanam, you have to know this. Devayanam Pitriyanam is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, what it means. In the Devayanam process, if you are very truthful to your spiritual life, at the time if you come into the Devayanam process, all the devadas in the path, they will invite you to go further. Agnir Jyoti Raha Shukla Shanmasa Uttarayanam. There's a verse in the Bhagavad Gita. They are all the devadas, Abhimani Devada, on the path. They will help you to go up further. They will give you all the help what you need. Agnir, Jyotisa, Ahasa, Shuklam. In all these devadas, they come to help you in your journey back to the spiritual world. They all give you all the support what you need. That is Devayanam. So, they'll call you back. Come. They will help you to go away from here. So, this is the important thing what Murshi is saying here, that many, many great personalities have done this in the past. They have told their disciples also that when they were leaving the body, they had the fear that when the spiritual master was leaving, so they told the spiritual master, in our life we didn't get the same realization what you had. The disciples told the spiritual master, we didn't get the same realizations what you had. So he told them that at the time of death, I will be there to take you back. Because when he is saying that, this you have to understand, when the spiritual master is telling the disciple, I will be help you to get you back, he is not talking to you in that body as a person. He is talking to you as the Antaryami inside you. Because spiritual master is a manifestation of the Antaryami. Is it not? Antaryami is manifesting as spiritual master. So, if you tell him, there are many great souls who have spoken this to their disciples, that at the time of death, because you are saying to them, that in my life I didn't have this realization what you had. In my life, I am still, after so many years, I am in a predicament, what to do in life. So the spiritual master has told them, you don't be frightened about it. At the time of death, I will be there to help you. They will give this guarantee to the disciples. And what basis that guarantee? The guarantee is this, that he knows that the Antaryami is the one in him, is that Antaryami who has come as the spiritual master. Spiritual master is only a form outside what you are seeing. Is it not? That form, particular form. But inside that spiritual master, there is that Antaryami. And that Antaryami is the same Antaryami inside the disciple also. So when he says that, I will take care of it, what he means is that his Antaryami will do the rest of the thing what is to be done. And they have given guarantee like this, and many disciples have gone back in that way, based on the guarantee of the spiritual master. So now you can see where the spiritual master stand, his role, and the disciple situation also. So, and that is one force that's operating there. That Antaryami is one force which is operating in the form of spiritual master. It's one force which is operating in the form of spiritual master. And when spiritual master is in so much confidence of the Antaryami, his Antaryami, if he says something, it has to become true. It cannot go falls. So there are, in that journey, when we leave this body on our way back, there are so many forces to take us there. So rishis, they have gone through that path. They have gone through that path. And that is why it is called Rishipatham. Rishi's path. It's their path. And that is how these words come. Ayanam. Ayanam means the path. Ayanam. Ayanam means the path. That's how this word Ramayanam came. Rama's path. Rama's path. And or Rishi's path, in other words. Devayanam. Pidriyanam. All these words has come like that. So Pidriyanam is where you will come back again. Devayanam is that you don't come back. You know that. In Bhagavad Gita, these two processes. Devayanam, you don't come back. Pidriyanam, you will come back. And similarly, you will see Uttarayanam, Dakshinayanam. Two timings mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. So, all these are ayanam, paths which were laid out by the rishis. The rishis have spoken all these things. And he says here that adhyasidam purvadhamair maharshivi. That purvadhamair maharshivi, that this brahmanishtha, brahmavidya, brahmanishtha, alpavidya, that was established by the rishis in the past. And they have experienced it. And all I am doing is, I am going in the same route. That's all. I am going in the same route. Aham tarishyami durandabharam. Aham tarishyami durandabharam. And I will cross over this material existence, which is very hard to cross over. Tamo mukundangri nisheva yaiva. Completely taking the shelter of Krishna. Krishna shelter. And in that way, I will cross over this darkness. And that is his statement. Whose statement? Bhikshu's statement. And he says here, you can see from that statement his courage. Isn't it? He's so bold to make that statement. If it was all not truthful, Krishna wouldn't have spoken this. Krishna, seeing that person's courage, that I will cross over this darkness of material existence, he said this. Krishna says in the next verse, he says, this is how that Bhikshu has spoken. Nurvidya nashtadravino gadaklama pravrajyagam paryadamanam ittham niragrudo asadbi abhiswadharmam akambido muniradhagatham. So here, completely taking Krishna's shelter, I will cross over this ocean of material existence, and that is how Upanishads is giving the best wishes to him. Upanishads are saying best wishes to him to go. So swasti sat paraya tamasa parastad. So Upanishads, this is the best wishes of the Upanishads. Upanishads is saying best wishes to you. For what? To cross over this material life. Tamasa parastad. Tamasa parastad means to go beyond darkness. Tamasa is darkness. What is darkness? Material life is darkness. Spiritual life is light. Isn't it? Material life is darkness. So, so that is why this Brahmana has saying like this, and I'll take your complete shelter, and taking Krishna's shelter, and absorbed in Krishna, Purvatamair Maharshivi, I'll follow the same processes, what the rishis have done in the past, I'll follow in their path, and I'll cross through the ocean of darkness, and I'll become free. I'll become free. And this is very much, this what Bhikshu has done here, this is called Vyavasayalmiya Buddhi. Remember Vyavasayalmiya Buddhi? We have talked many times. Second chapter in the Bhagavad Gita. Isn't it? Vyavasayalmiya Buddhi? Egeha Kurunandana. Bahushaka Anandascha. Buddhayo Avyavasayinam. So, this is what that is. That Vyavasayalmiya Buddhi in the Bhikshu. You can see there. So, he taken that decision, and the Bhikshu Gita, he has escaped from here, in that way. Bhikshu has escaped from here. So, coming back to this, why we were mentioning all these things were there. That in the Asamalaka Sotram also, you will see what is happening here. He says, Nijabhoda Ryubam, isn't it? Naham Manisho, Najadeva Yaksho,
na brahmana kshatriya vaishya shudraha na brahmachari na grihi vanastho vichurna chaham nija bodharupaha vichurna chaham nija bodharupaha. So what has he done? He has, first of all, he is rejecting one after the other. What's he rejecting? He rejected the body first, isn't it? Then he rejected the intelligence. And after rejecting everything, he has gone and touched the pure consciousness, awareness inside. So he found out that that awareness is his real identity, his real identity. And we have to get there, whichever means possible, through the inquiry of the self and all other available possibilities to get there. Only then you can say that statement, Nijabodha Rubam. Otherwise you can't say that. So little by little you have to take that instructions, what we have talked about before, about the inquiry of the self. If you inquire, you can see, am I this body? Again and again, you have to keep asking this question, am I this body? And you can see that when you keep going in a deeper level, there are so many statements in the Bhagavad Gita to help you to do that inquiry, to inquire about the self. Is it not? That Krishna is giving various clues and hints at different times. That body, as much as you analyze it, you can see it's been given by Prakriti. Prakriti has given this body to us. It's not our body. Is it not? It's not our body. Where is the proof that it is not our body? Because we know very well that whatever that's happening in the body, I have no control over it. That itself is the proof that it's not my body. Is it not? That body is growing. I didn't give permission for the body to grow. It's growing. It was a baby's body, child body, young man, boy's body, young man's body, middle-aged man body, old body, and then the body goes one day. So what independence, what freedom do I have on this body? Nothing. Practically nothing. Nothing we have. All it is a proof to me that this body is not in my control, number one. Number two, various things that's happening inside this body. For example, the the digestion process. Digestion, what's happening. How food is digested. How, when the sleep comes, I'm forced to sleep. When I'm woken up in the morning, I'm forced to wake up. When the blood is, how the blood is circulation, all different organs inside this body, how they are functioning. And all other things, when the body, when it gets sick, when it recovers from the illness, anything and everything, when you analyze the body, you can see that practically you don't have very much control on this at all. Absolutely very little you have control on anything here. So if you keep on analyzing about this body all the time in your thoughts, you will understand these things. What are they? First thing you will understand that even though all these things are happening in the body, inside you, you are feeling that awareness strongly about your existence, separately from the body. Even though problems are coming to the body, your consciousness and awareness is independently reporting everything. Always you are feeling separate from that problems of the body. And that awareness or consciousness that has not changed even from the day of birth till now. It's the same awareness in full, always fully conscious. What they call as the pure consciousness, Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. And that is not getting diminished or it's not increasing. It's always steady awareness. But changes that's happening is in the body and the mind, in the intelligence, in the ego and the senses and everything, rest of it. From this you understand that body is a completely different and independent entity. The other day, Kulashekar was asking me this question. I thought about that later when he said that. He asked me, is there any
evidence to say that in the Shastram that this body what we have is not real. Shastram is saying to us that body is not real. Body is not real. That's a Shastric statement. Shastric statement is body is not real. And that is many people find it very difficult to take it. Is it not? You can understand why. Because the body's nature is such that our connection with the body, actually there is no connection with the body. This is the difficulty. But due to avidya inside me, I am identifying with the body. Identifying with the body. And I find myself difficult to come out of that bodily identity. So, while having this body, this illusion or avidya inside me is detecting to me I am this body, whereas through intelligence and by scrutiny and with the help of the Shastram, I am able to come to the conclusion that I am not this body. And I also know that body is not mine. First of all, I know I am not this body. Because how do I know that? I know that when all these things are happening, in my awareness there is no impact, no effect at all. I am still remaining that I am. And I know one day I am going to die and I know the body will go. But still I can't accept that I am finished with the death. Is it not? It's very difficult to accept that I am finished with the death. I know that I'll go somewhere else, in what form and all that, I don't know. But I still feel that awareness in me is not going to leave me. Because that's the only thing what I have. That is what I am. Consciousness, awareness, bodham, avabodham. Isn't it? Because why do I say that everything else in this world is not anubhavam? It is all pratiti, what they call it as perception, in the mind. Sukham, dukham, all this is in the mind. But awareness is not in the mind. Awareness is in the self, in the Atma. That is the difference. Awareness of my existence is not coming from the mind. So, because I have never thought about this, to separate them both, all of the time I am thinking everything is coming from the mind. I think like that. But because in the Shastram is very specific about this, that awareness and Shanti is all coming from the self. Shanti is the nature of Atma. Awareness is the nature of that Shanti. Awareness all the time. If you want to have Shanti, you have to have somebody there to experience that Shanti. And that is awareness. Who experiences Shanti? Awareness experiences Shanti. And that Shanti is not something that's coming from the mind. It's not coming from the mind. That is why when you study Bhagavad Gita, these subtle things you should sort it out first. Only after that you have to worry about other things. These are subtle things in the Bhagavad Gita. Where is Shanti coming from? Remember yesterday I mentioned, in so many places Krishna is talking about Shanti, 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 Shanti. Everywhere. Why does he say that? Because when Krishna is talking to us about Atma, he has to only talk about Shanti, not about anger, hate, lust, greed, envy, pride, false ego, things like that. It has nothing to talk about it. Because it is about Atma, he has to talk about Atma's nature as Shanti. And that Shanti is coming from pure consciousness is Shanti. Atma is Shanti. Atma is that Shanti, isn't it? Therefore all Upanishads finishes, Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. That Shanti is spoken there. So, coming back to this, when you start the inquiry process of the self, constantly you have to analyze this. What is my relationship with this body? Where does the body stand in me? What connection do I have it? And if you keep on repeating this, Antaryami will tell you from inside that this body is concerned, it has got very limited relationship with you. Although I am suffering with it now. I am suffering with it, I agree. But at the same time the truth is that body, I did not ask for it, it has come. I don't maintain it, it stays. Even though I don't maintain it or not, it will stay. And it leaves without asking my permission. And when it is with me, it is doing various things without consulting me. As I mentioned, when you want to sleep, without asking you, you are off. When you want to wake up, without asking you, you are woken up. So, where do I have any control on this thing? And still, I am feeling so much identity with that. So, if you keep on analyzing, you will understand one day. That you have to go through that. Bhagavad Gita, we have spoken many things, many times, in relationship with the body, in the Bhagavad Gita classes. So, if you pull them all together, you will, that is the material available for you to do the analysis of the self. And you have to come out on your own that I am not this body, body is not mine. This has to get established firmly inside. I am not this body, body is not mine. And then finally, body is not meant for my enjoyment. Because this body, which is asat, Krishna has spoken from various angles, is it not, in the Bhagavad Gita, you know, in the form of Prakriti and Purusha, Jnanam and Vijnanam, Paravidya, Abharavidya. Remember, I mentioned many times this. Every chapter, if you look at Bhagavad Gita, you will see there, from another perspective, Krishna brings it. But what he is talking about is the one thing. What is that? Sat, Asat. Sat, Asat. Sat cannot enjoy Asat. Sat cannot enjoy Asat. And therefore, body is not for meant for my enjoyment. That's the logic behind it. Sat cannot enjoy Asat. Sat can only, Sat on its own is full of bliss. Sat doesn't want Asat for its happiness. Do you understand that? Sat does not require Asat for its happiness. Sat on its own has happiness, its enjoyment and anandam inside. Therefore, it is my illusion, Brahmam, inside me, to think that I need this Asat for my happiness. So therefore, I am not this body, body is not mine, body is not for my enjoyment. In these three fundamental principles, we have to get established first. And that way, reject the body. That way, reject the body. You may not succeed in that in day one. But if you keep on building it up all the time, you will see that from inside, Antaryami will giving you the help. It will come from within. Outside, nobody can help on this. It's our own effort of constantly analyzing this about the body. Just like body you have analyzed, you have to analyze the other things as well. Which one? The mind. Mind you have to analyze in the same way. Mind, what is mind? Avidya. Yesterday we talked about that. Why mind is avidya? Avidya means thought waves coming one after the other. When these thought waves are there, there is no shanti inside in the person. There is no shanti there. That's not our, this is a misunderstanding in us. We say, if somebody is thinking a lot, is very thoughtful, from Shastram, if you are not thinking anything, you are safer. You are properly situated. If too many thoughts are coming through the mind, that means you are in the disturbed state. Your mind is very active. That's why thoughts are coming. It's not a good thing. Therefore, realized people will tell you that free yourself from the mind. Leave the mind to Krishna, because mind is the most difficult thing of all. Body you can come out with proper scrutiny and proper analysis. One day you may succeed to a large extent to freeing yourself from the effect of the body. But mind is more powerful, is it not? So therefore, freedom from the mind, therefore, all the sadhana process for this. So that you don't allow the mind to do anything, anything on its own. Never give the freedom to the mind. That is why all the different sadhana. Why do we say that you chant 24 hours, if you chant Hare Krishna, it's good. They'll say like that. Would they not? Why do they say that? So that you won't go and do something. Because by mind otherwise won't allow you. As soon as you stop something, if you are not engaged spiritually, immediately the next thing is, mind will find some karma for you. It will find some karma somewhere to do. So mind is closely connected with karma. So therefore, to escape from the mind, the best possible process in the Shastram is chanting the holy name. If you can't do that all the time, read Srimad Bhagavatam, engage in the deity worship. You will see, when you go to these temples, many, many big temples, they have a parikrama path all around, isn't it, to circumambulate the deity.
And even at the manor, you will see sometimes devotees walking around the temple building, around circumambulation of the deity. Why do we do that? The reason is this. If you keep doing this, then you won't go and do some other thing, wrong things, to free yourself from that. That is why all that is pradakshinam or parikramam it's called, for this reason. Sometimes you will see in big temples, devotees simply circumambulating, chanting the holy name and circumambulating the deity. How many times? They don't know. As many times as they can. Why this circumambulation? Because if you circumambulate like that, your mind will stay quiet. It will not. After a few times you will see that you are going doing the same thing again and again and again, that the mind will stay quiet. So, because the mind is also a troubleshooter, like anybody else. So, various things, we have spoken before, body, I am not this body, I am not this mind, I am not this intelligence, I am not this ego. All these things, ego we have spoken about, how the ego is operating. So, when you have understood that science of the ego, how the false ego is operating through us, and where the false ego is causing the problem, and when you know that, you have no relationship with that ego, which is a false ego, eventually that will also help you to reject ego. Ego is not the reality, it's not either the real either. So this is why that deeper penetration into inquiry of the self is important, and when you go deeper, you will see there that all our thoughts inside, directly or indirectly, is in relationship with this body. That you have to find out yourself. Is it not? I don't know whether you have thought like this. It's on a much deeper level. You have to analyze it. You will know that all the thoughts that's coming through your mind is either directly or indirectly is in relationship with this body. That's a very important statement. In the Vedantam, they say this. Very openly, they insist on this. You cannot claim that you have any other thought inside you outside this body. Because you are in the body so strongly. Therefore, initially, at all times, even while chanting, I am thinking about the body. It's not. You can see, suppose I am chanting and suddenly it got a little cold, I will leave the beads back there, I'll get my jumper pulled over or my shawl to cover myself. So, deeper than chanting, I am more conscious of the body. It's not. Or if I am in extremely hot weather, I sat down to chant and immediately went, oh, it's too hot. Let me put the fan on first, or AC on, whatever that's available. So, underlying, behind all our spiritual thoughts, what we say, is this bodily identity acting very strongly. And that's not easy to come about. But you may not admit this, but the fact is, everything what we do now, at this point in time in our existence, is all based on the body. It's all based on the body. So, if you look at this very carefully, if you analyze that, then you will realize there that somehow or the other, I am stuck up in this body, mind, I am not this body, I am not this mind. So, therefore, by proper analysis, proper scrutiny, you have to do this, that I have no relationship with the body. I have no relationship with the mind. I have no relationship with the ego. And I have no relationship with the intelligence either. These four things, body, mind, intelligence and the ego, we have to, through scrutiny, analysis and inquiry, we have to separate it from us. And if you keep on rejecting all of them, and you become more and more subtle, when you become more and more subtle, there a stage will come where you can't reject something anymore. It takes time to reject all these four. Body, mind, intelligence and ego. It takes time to reject them. But after you have reached this stage, it requires a lot of shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam, they say. That means that inquiry, contemplation, analysis and everything, and then eventually holding on to that realization. Realizations will come. If you put effort into it, it will come. So when it comes, finally you will realize, everything has gone from me. The body is remaining there, my awareness, that I cannot throw it away. I cannot throw it away. And it is at that time, and it is that vastu inside, which we call it as awareness or consciousness or bodham, that is what is called, we call in the Shastram as Satta Chitta Anandam. That is Satchidanandam. You remember, eternal, blissful, full of knowledge, we say. Who has got that? Not the body, not the mind, not the intelligence, not the ego, but that vastu, what you have got there after you have rejected all other things there. And that is my real identity, and that you can't reject or you can't throw it away. And at that stage, there is no two things. There is only one thing, that awareness. And there is no one person there, and there is a something that you are rejecting there. Up to that time, there is someone there and something you are rejecting. There is two there. When you are identifying with the body is there and you are rejecting the body. Then there is a mind, you are rejecting the mind. And then there is the intelligence, you are rejecting the intelligence. And then there is the ego, you are rejecting the ego. After you have rejected all this, then what remains is this awareness. And that awareness is you. That you can't separate from that. You are that. That is what in Upanishads they say, Tattvam Asi. Tattvam Asi. I am that. That what's coming from there. So that you can't reject it. Because there's no two there. There's only one. The Tattvam only. Tattvam only remains there. So, so this is to be practiced. Why? This is studying Bhagavad Gita means all this. Otherwise we are not studying Bhagavad Gita. Simply reading the verses once a year and reading the translation purport and saying that I have understood Bhagavad Gita, that's not studying Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita, really studying means all that what Krishna is saying there, taking it into our understanding, and if whatever Krishna has spoken, you have to accept that. And whatever the process that the rishis have laid out, you have to follow that process, like the bhikshu did. Is it not? Edam samastaya para alpanishtam adhyasidam purvadameer maharshivi aham tarishyami durandavaram tamo mukundangri nishevayaiva. When does Krishna help? When you start doing it. Then Krishna will help from inside. Help will come from Antaryami. He is the one who is creating all the situation for us. So here, but these, in the, when you are trying all these things in the beginning, it won't last very long. A few seconds or few minutes. After that, say postman has come and put a bill through your letterbox, you will forget Bhagavad Gita, you will forget self-inquiry, you will forget bhakti, you will forget holy name, you will forget Bhagavatam, everything, you will go after the bill. And you will find out how much is the bill. Is BT is pulling the... Because all of them are there like sharks waiting there to suck as best as they can out of you. And they make the life so complicated for everybody. Whether it is gas or electricity or water or council tax or BT or whoever it may be. So as soon as the bill comes, you become nervous. This is what is they up to now. And they'll give you a new set of calculations, how they have precisely calculated your this thing. The whole thing is a joke, isn't it? Calculating, it has become endless calculation now. The gas they calculate, the electricity they have calculated for the last 10 years, how much is consumed. That's all paid off. Still they'll send you the chart, how much you are paid for the last 10 years. That's the whole life is working on this planned life. Everything is so properly organized and systematically set up for you. And they'll keep on repeating this word when they send you the bill. For your benefit we are doing this. Everything for you. Because we want to make sure that you pay the very minimum. And all those are advertisements. So, as soon as that bill comes, the whole thing is gone. Self-inquiry is finished there. So, but and then what happened? What does that mean? It means that your self-inquiry has gone away. The mind has come back into action. The mind has come out again. So, this is where the problem is. That you were absorbed in the self-inquiry, you have given a lot of time to it, utilized Bhagavad Gita's knowledge, Bhagavadam's instructions, Krishna's instructions to Uddhava in the Bhagavadam, instructions to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, particularly these two more important things. You have taken on board and you have started self-inquiry, and suddenly something happens like this at that time. But that is where a Samalaga is saying there. He is saying there, whatever he is saying, he is not saying like us saying. He is in that all the time. Always situated there, established there. And that is why he says here, what he has done is, this mind coming back and changing the whole thing. Our stability in there. Suppose you have succeeded to some extent in establishing in the truth. By self-inquiry you have got there to some extent. Because it will happen. Suppose you are every day, if you spend time in this self-inquiry process, naturally that knowledge has to have its effect in anybody, if he is doing it genuinely. And over a period of time, you will see there that you have certain realization inside. Antaryami also has given you support from inside. So you will get some established there, and lot of things in this world won't disturb you anymore. So, but suddenly when something happens in life, you can see that the mind is back again. Mind has come back. And therefore, what they are saying here is that thing is called Adhyarogam. In the Shastram, the word is Adhyarogam. Adhyarogam means, unless you remove this Adhyarogam, this weakness of this mind, or mind taking control of you in the middle of your spiritual pursuit, spiritual inquiry, that's called advancement. And or otherwise, Adhyarogam, another word is superimposition. Superimposition. So, what you have done is, while you have rejected all the body, mind, intelligence, ego and everything, as soon as an opportunity came to pull you back into the body in the form of a bill or anything, what's happening there? You have lost that identity of the self and you have gone back to your body again. Is it not? That's when you are losing it. You are losing when you have properly analyzing what Krishna has spoken, what the Bhikshu has spoken within yourself, with the help of Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam, all that Krishna has spoken to Uddhava and what Krishna has spoken to Arjuna, which is of great help in the analysis, isn't it? Without Krishna's guarantee words, what Krishna is giving us is the truth from the realized state. Krishna is always in that state. You have to remember that. Krishna is always in that state and he is speaking from that state to us who are in this state. So when we are trying to get that state into us, what Krishna has spoken, Dehastha Ovena Dehastha, so many verses, isn't it? That Deham Gurur Mama Virakti Hedu, how body has become a cause of my detachment and renunciation. Hamsa Gita. So many things you will see in the Bhagavad Gita. It distributed all the way in the Agadasha Skandam to Uddhava. And similarly in the Bhagavad Gita also. To help us to do the inquiry of the self. So while doing the inquiry of the self, it so happens that after a while you will see, suppose you have done for 6 months or a year, you will notice that the mind is still there to get you. And what does the mind do? When you are trying to establish yourself in the platform of Atma, it pulls you back into the body. The mind does that. And that will come from your Vyavaharam side, in some form or the other. And there, because this Adhyarobam happens, superimposition, I have stacked up everything inside me. I have to do this, I am all based on the body. I have to pay the bills. I am this, I am that. So, directly or indirectly, I am caught up in that. Inside that. So, to remove all these things from inside, all that avidya from inside, it will take time. It will take a long time. That is why cultivation of knowledge, when Krishna is saying there in the Bhagavad Gita, he says there, if you keep experiencing that whenever you get time, you should try this first. Because you have to start somewhere. And it's not a karmam. This is not a karmam. It is jnanam. You have to remember that. Ichcha Shakti, Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti, three forces that comes from Prakriti.
It is Prakriti that has put that into us in the form of mind, intelligence and the in the body, isn't it? So they won't go easily. Ichashakti, Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti, Surubini, Brahmavidya. Prakriti has put that in us. And they won't go away easily. It will take its own time. So, but when we have, this is why we have to find time for this, all these things. It needs time. And you have to keep practicing this by vicharam. Vicharam means constantly analyzing inside. And it can be done by anybody. So even for this process, even for atheists can do it. Atheist is only saying God doesn't exist. Is it not? That's the atheistic view. He doesn't say He is not existing. He says God doesn't exist. That's all right. He hasn't seen God, so he says, I have not seen God, so I can't accept God exists. But does he any time say, He is not existing? He can't say that, can he? Because He is existing. If He is not existing, how can he ask the question, make that statement that God is not existing? So even an atheist can follow this process of inquiry of the self. Inquiry of the self. So, mentioned that before also, that somebody came up and told one sannyasi that he said, I am an atheist. He said to this end. Sometimes people do this, don't they? Have you seen that? They'll come if you invite them for discussions or anything. Many times this happened. Prabhupada was here also, that somebody they will bring to talk, who is well known in some established, reputed person in this world. Then, so one day, sometime this happened in another instance, that people will come and say that, I'm an atheist, I don't believe in God. They'll say, you're a God man, aren't you? I think in Australia these discussions happen. In Prabhupada's case it happened in Australia. But in another instance, he said that I don't believe in God, he said. And they gave me this book, Bhagavad Gita and Science of Self-Realization and books like that. And they are telling me this is all authorized and it is coming from the truth. But I don't believe in that, he said. I don't believe in any of these things. Who says that this has come from the truth? You are saying that. But where is the proof, he said. Because some people have that nature. They want to challenge everything, isn't it? So when they were saying like that, initially he didn't say anything. But he probably wanted him to say everything what he had to say. This is how they argue. Have you noticed that when they come? If you read all the conversations, you will find very interesting conversations sometimes between these people who come like this, all in a very challenging mood, trying to argue like this. So he thought that Prabhupada is probably going to get angry with him and start shouting at him or yelling at him, anything like that. He thought like that, but he didn't say anything. Prabhupada smiled and told him like this. Then he said, yeah, everything what Krishna says is all lies, isn't it? He said like that to him. That's all right, he said. And after a while he says to him, don't forget about Krishna, he says. Do you exist or not, he said. Do you exist or not? That's enough. If you accept that, you can deny existence of God. You can deny Shastram. But can you deny your own existence? If you have accepted that you are existing, that means you have accepted spiritual life. That's how true that is. So this is how they are. Those who have realized, they don't have any problem in talking to these so-called atheists. Atheists can say any nonsense what they want. But what he said to him, because if he is in that level, you have to prove to him in that level only. If you tell him that God is there somewhere, Krishna is there in the Golokam, he will actually tell you, I don't believe in all that. Golokam and Kailasam and all that, Vaikuntham, who knows where, what. They will argue that. And as far as Shastram is concerned, He will say, there is so many books. Everybody is saying, my path is the right path. Or my philosophy is the right philosophy. And they will prove that it is written in this book. Krishna is saying like this. But I don't accept whether they'll say, how do I know Krishna was there? Who is Krishna? I've not seen him. So their argument will go in that direction. So Prabhupada, in one particular instance, he said to them that, that's all right, he said, I don't have any problem with that. You don't accept Krishna, doesn't matter. You don't accept Bhagavad Gita, doesn't matter. But do you accept that you exist or not? He said, I exist. That's enough, he said. We can start from there then. Because the moment you accept this, that you exist, then you have to ask the question, who is existing? Who is that you are talking about? Then the analysis begins, inquiry begins. So that self-inquiry is an important part of spiritual life. If you don't do that, simply follow rituals and all other things in this world, that's not going to be very successful at the end. It won't put you in the right track. The rishis and others, this is what they have done, is it not? And all the jnanis, great personalities in spiritual life who are successful, they have all followed this process. That is proper spiritual life. Otherwise it will become, later on, you will feel somewhere you're stuck. You're not going, progressing. You start doubting, is Krishna existing? Why is he not helping me? Why nothing is coming from inside? No realization is coming. And then after 40, 50 years of chanting and dancing and feasting, you're feeling you're nowhere. You're same where you were in the beginning. So that shouldn't happen. So, so he said to them that, you know these two words, atheist and theist, isn't it? Astik or nastik. So, if you accept God or not, even if you reject God, but you accept your own existence, then you are not an atheist. You are an astik. You are not nastik. Provided you accept your existence, awareness inside. So, so astik it is called, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So, you can't at any point in time reject about your own existence. That is why in that statement, aham brahmasmi, aham brahmasmi, that statement is an indication of that, my own existence, and that is the only one thing everybody is able to agree with in this world. So, whether it is atheistic or astik, you can't reject. We'll have a break, I've forgotten. Cheto darpanam arjanam vamaha davagni nirvavanam shreya kaitava chandriya vidaranam vidyavadhu jivanam anandam budivardhanam pradipada purnamrudaswadanam sarvabdha subanam varam vijayade shri krishna sankirtanam namnamagari bahuda nijasarva shakti tatrarpida nimida smaranena kala Edadrushi tava krupa bhagavan mamabhi durdaiva medrusha vihajani nanuragaha Shuni jaina harorabhi sahishuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari nadhanam najanam nasundarim kavidamba jagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmani shvari bhavadad bhakti rahai tugitvai Ai nandadanyu jagingaram padidamaham shame bhavambudau krubayatava badavanga jastidaduli sadrasham vijindaya mayanam galada shrudharaya vadanam gadgadiruddhaya gira pulakar nijidam kadavabu tavannama grahane bhavishyadi yugayidam nimeshena chachusha pravishayidam shunyayidam jagal sarvam govinda virahe name Ashleshava padaradam pinashtumam adarshanam marmahalam tarotuva yathatadava vidada dulambado malpranadatha sunayevana parayam.
So, this Hastamalagam Gita, what we are now discussing, is pointing out this one truth, what we have just spoken, that is, that an atheist also can deny the existence of God. That's why it's called atheist, is it not? But here, we cannot call him an atheist, because he is accepting his existence. And if you accept your existence, that means you are not an atheist anymore. The fact that you accepted your own existence is denying the existence of God. Why? Because he does not know what God is. That is why he is denying the existence of God. Because you have presented to him the God as somebody living somewhere far away. But when he understands that this God, what we are talking about is that Antaryami inside, present in everyone. And through knowledge, through the Vedic injunctions, when he understands that, he is not an atheist anymore. Because the first thing to accept for understanding God is to accept your own existence, your own awareness or existence. And that nobody can deny. If he denies his own existence, you have to ask the question, who is denying the existence? If he says, I don't exist, then the next question is, then who is saying that you don't exist? Then what will he answer? So, in the Shastram, that word they use is astitvam. Astitvam means your existence. Your existence is astitvam. So that is why we have to hold on to that more than a form in another place or in another situation. Like, if you present God as somebody somewhere far away from here, we don't know where he is, I mean, whatever way you present it, why this Vedic literature, particularly Bhagavad Gita, Upanishads, Bhagavatam and all that, stressing on this point? Because this is, which is the most convincing answer you can give to somebody about the awareness inside, and that you have to hold on to. Because this is one thing you can never reject about your existence, isn't it? Can you believe or say that you don't exist? You even can't even think about that. Body will go, that's acceptable. Body will go, we know that, it's going to happen one day. But I can't exist, believe that, I'm not going to exist after that. This awareness in me, because it is throughout life, you see, from the day you were born, right up to the day you left the body, that awareness has been always there. It has not left us. So that is why, after a while, when the body is dead, you will take this body into the cemetery or wherever, crematorium or wherever it is, and you will burn this body. And does that mean that when the body is burned, that I am finished then with that? And this awareness what I have is that closed with that. And therefore, and that is something very difficult for anybody to accept that. No matter who it is, they'll find that very difficult to accept that I'm finished with the death. Finished with the death. And because actually what you are accepting that death is in relationship with the body, yes, I can accept that. My body will go. But it's very hard to make that statement that I'm finished with that, with the death. My awareness, existence, astitvam, avabhodam will never go. It's there, it will continue. And that's acceptable in all religions, isn't it? Even, except probably some atheist or somebody who doesn't accept anything, other religions also say that there is something after death. Whether it is Islam or Christianity or anywhere, they'll also say there's something after death, but they don't know what it is, and they express it in their own way. What Vedantam is saying is there, don't worry about what happens after death. Right now, let's look at it in this way. So, and that experience of that personality, right now, I have it here in the form of ahankara, the false ego. So, always, I can only express this one thing. My existence I can confirm. My non-existence I can't confirm. Can I? Even if I want it. I can't even imagine that.
me not ex- even if I decide, oh, I'm not existing from tomorrow, still I am existing. Otherwise I can't say that tomorrow I'm not existing. So how will you separate that out? It's not possible. So existence, astitvam or avabodham, consciousness, is the one which is firm, always existing. Not the body, not the mind, not the intelligence. So if you say, I did not exist, then you have to ask the question, who was experiencing that? Your non-existence. There also you require him, as awareness is necessary. Without awareness you can't say that I didn't exist. For example, you became unconscious. When you come back to consciousness, you will say, I was unconscious. So to say that I was unconscious, that I must have been there when you were unconscious. Otherwise, how could he say that when you became conscious? Suppose something happened, accident happened or anything, and you became unconscious, the ambulance came, and the police and the ambulance took you to the hospital, you were fully unconscious. You didn't know anything what was going on. But when you got up, after you got recovered from your accident and everything, and you started walking, everything came back to normal, then you can say that I was unconscious then. But who was saying I was unconscious? That's that awareness. See how powerful that awareness is inside. How on earth nobody can reject that awareness. Awareness is the only truth. That is why Prabhupada even called that Krishna consciousness, he called it. Because Krishna consciousness is awareness. There's nothing much different. That, therefore, this consciousness word has become popular these days, is it not? Only now the scientists have started recognizing this, that consciousness is different from the mind. They are not connected. Whereas in the past, everybody was thinking consciousness is all the mind and everything through the mind and intelligence like that, memory. No, consciousness is a totally independent entity, which is awareness, and that you cannot kill, you cannot destroy it, because it is Krishna that is. That consciousness is Krishna. If he is not there, there is no... We call the personal form, we call Krishna. But Antaryami, he it is him. Brahmam, he is him. Paramatma, he is him. In the form Bhagavan, we call him. But Vastu is one. Vadandi tattvavidam tattvam yajnanam advayam brahmedi paramatmedi Bhagavan iti shabdyade. Therefore, in the Puranam, Bhagavadam, it says, iti shabdyade. You call it as Bhagavan, Brahmam, Paramatma and all that. Whatever you want to call, you can call, he says. But iti shabdyade. Iti shabdyade means it's spoken in that way. But vastu is one. They are not. That vastu is what? Advaya jnanam. Vadandida tattvavidam tattvam yajnanam advayam. That is the tattvam. Brahmedi, Paramatmedi, Bhagavan iti shabdyade. It is spoken in that way. So, astitvam, that astitvam is called sat. Remember that? That astitvam, what do you say? Awareness, or consciousness, or your existence. Whatever way you call that, that is called sat. This word, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see there that sandam, there is a word, sandam. Sandam samibe ramanam radipradam. Santam, the word. Who uses that word? Pingala uses that word. Sandam samibe ramanam radipradam. Krishna uses the word sat. Pingala uses the same thing as sandam. Sandam means what? Who existing. What? Who is existing. You remember Pingala's story in the Bhagavatam? That Pingala had so many relationships, and finally one day Pingala decided, this is it, I'm leaving everything, I'm going. And at that time, what did Pingala do? Pingala says that, now I have understood who is closer to me. She laments there, all my life I wasted by engaging in all other activities, but now I have realized who is inside me. Who did that? Antaryami revealed to her that I am present inside. And when she got that awareness, she stopped everything, all other activities, and went, Sukham Sushwava Pingala. Bhagavatam says, After that, Pingala got good sleep and he slept and left this world. Sukham Sushwaba Pingala. That Sandam, there is their Pingala is saying that Sandam Samibe Ramanam Radipradam. She started experiencing the spiritual bliss of the soul at that point. Why did that happen? Because Dattatreya Maharshi went there. Remember? Prithvi Vayuragasham Abogni Chandraman Ravi Kapodam Ajagara Sindhu Padanga Madhgarbhaja Kumari Harino Meena Pingala Kurera Arbhaga Kumari Sharaval Sarpam Urnanabhi Subeshagam 24 spiritual masters. Pingala is one of the spiritual masters of Dattatreya Maharshi. Remember Dattatreya? 24 spiritual masters. So that Dattatreya accepted Pingala as a spiritual master. Can you imagine? That without, why did he accept Pingala as a spiritual master? Because that night, Dattatreya Maharshi was walking through the street. And when he sat, it so happened that he happened to sit in front of her house. Pingala was waiting for her customers to come, guests to come. And Pingala saw this sannyasi, avadhuta person, Dattatreya sitting there, goes to Dattatreya Maharshi and asked Dattatreya who you are, what you are doing here. Dattatreya said that I will rest here tonight. Tomorrow when it is bright, I will go. Look at the words what he used. Tomorrow when it's bright, I will go. He was saying one way, Pingala understood it another way. Pingala, seeing his condition, cleaned the place up for Dattatreya to sit and rest there. That's a little service he did to Dattatreya. Dattatreya, being a realized soul, thought, this woman, why she is suffering like this in life? What reason? What benefit? But first of all, she is born in a place where Sita Devi lived, Mithila. Sita Devi is the personification of Brahma Vidya. In a place like that, to get absorbed in an activity like this, she must have been really unfortunate to be like this. So he felt some compassion for her. So a person like Dattatreya, if he feels that to somebody, it has to have its effect. And that is what changed Pingala's mind. So when Pingala went back and sat in the bed, she thought, why did this Vairagyam come to me like this? She didn't know, it was due to Dattatreya. But Dattatreya given that mercy to her and she changed. And immediately, due to Dattatreya's mercy, Andaryami inside revealed to her who she is. And that's what is Pingala Gita. Pingala saying there, Sandam Samibe Ramanam Radipradam, that who is closest to me? None of these visitors who come to see me, they are all only here because of they want some enjoyment with me. And they will pay for it and they will have the enjoyment, they will go. They are not interested in me. But actually who is genuinely interested in me? This Andaryami inside. And Dattatreya Maharshi understood next day that Pingala has come to her senses and he left. When he said that, when it is bright, I will go, that's what he meant. That when Pingala has come out of her misfortunate, unfortunate situation, that she has become to her senses and started coming to spiritual path, then Dattatreya understood that his job is over and he left. So, one thing you have to remember here, that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, she uses the word that he uses the word word is Santaha. Sandam Samibe Ramanam Ratipradam. In the Bhagavatam, in the 14th chapter of the 10th canto, you will see in the Brahmastuti, Brahma's glorifications, isn't it? 14th chapter is Brahma's glorifications. There also he will use this word. In the 28th verse you will see. He mentions there that Andarbhave Ananda Bhavandameva Hridatyajando Mrgayandi Sandaha Asandamapyandahimandarena Sandam Gunandam Kimuyandi Sandaha. Again that word Sandam comes there. That Atandyajando Mrgayandi Sandaha, he says. Adatyajando Mrgayandi Sandaha. So except the sandam, sandam means sat, you have to reject everything else, which means the body, the mind, the intelligence, the ego, everything. So if you have rejected everything,
This sandam, asandam apyandahim andareena sandam gunam tam mrga kimayandi sandaha. What remains inside is only the sat or sandam. That is why. Andarbhave anandabhavandam evam hyadatya jando mrgayandi sandaha. Asandam apyandahi andareena sandam gunandam kimayandi sandaha. Sandam gunam kimayandi sandaha. So, so this inquiry is necessary. Whatever level one can do, as much as you have heard, and if something has gone inside, and in various times we have spoken, last 8-10 years we have been talking about the same thing in one way or the other. So wherever you have caught hold of something, and also what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, keeping all this in the background, one has to, now and then, as much as time allows, if you absorb in this process, you will see that I'm not this body, I'm not this mind, and I'm not the intelligence which is behind that. And therefore, this knowledge can work in anybody. It doesn't matter who it is. It's not dependent on your education. It's nothing to do with education. It's nothing to do with how rich or poor, or how famous or how infamous you are. Doesn't matter. This inquiry is within yourself. That's what's happening. So, there are examples. Sometimes it's amazing where this knowledge of the self can develop in a person. It's something very impossible to say in someone how Antaryami will work and operate. That's very difficult to predict in anybody's case. So, so in one instance, this has happened in the Ramanashramam, once Tirunamalai, it happened with Ramana Maharshi. One child came, and parents brought the child with them. And the child, you can see how they are. They're children, aren't they? Children will act like children. They won't have any seriousness. Whether it's self-realized, not realized, it doesn't matter to him. As far as he is concerned, he says, so he was doing all sorts of mischief, like the children do, when he was doing that. So, he asked him, what are you doing? He says, Ramana Maharshi asked him, then what are you doing? He said, so he says, I'm not doing anything, he said. So Maharshi says, look at him. He says, that he has got knowledge. He's not doing anything. You understand that? That actually Atma doesn't do anything. Ahankaram does that. So when even though he was doing something, out of his mischief he was saying that I'm not doing anything. Maharshi says, look at him, he's saying that he's not doing anything. So after doing all this mischief, he's saying he has not done anything, he says. So this is the symptom of a person who is in knowledge. He has to be able to say that. But when you are a grown-up, you can't say that, can you? You cover up everything, what you have done. That's what we do when we grow up. Everything we are hiding or covering up, everything what we do. So, but Maharshi said to him, to that child, invited him and spoke to him in detail, telling that you are not this body, you are not the mind, you are not the intelligence, you are not the ego, and things like that. And how did he teach him? He told, taught him like this. Whose head is this? He said. So the child is saying, it's my head. Whose hand is that? My hand. And whose cloth is that, what you are wearing there? It's my clothes, he said. So, is this clothes you? He asked the child. Child got thinking, what's he asking that? He said, no, I'm not this, he said. So, similarly, the head, is that you? He said, no, no, no. Then your hand? He said, no. And you're intelligent? He said. So, slowly, he put this idea into the head of the child. Deham naham, koham soham. Body is not me. Deham naham. Then koham soham. Who am I then? Once you get this thought into somebody's head, it's success. It is a success story. The thought is not happening to us. Who am I? That's why the problem is. We are not even, we are again using the mind and intelligence. Mind and intelligence cannot help in this. Koham naham soham koham. That's how it is. That child, he carried on like this and went back to their village. They came somewhere from Hyderabad area to this place. And parents brought the child had no interest. Child had no interest in this. But parents were listening to all the Salsangam, books, reading, everything was doing. Nothing happened to the parents. The Maharshi spoke to the child, and after a stay for a month or so, they went back to their village near Hyderabad, where they came from. And after some time, because Maharshi has spoken to him, this Deham Naham Oham Soham, the child caught on to that. And hardly 6 months the child lived, and the child died, left the body. And the child's body, after a while, child leaving the body, the child was saying, Koham Soham. That means the thought has gone deep inside the child. So to whom this process will work, it's very difficult to say. Very educated people, they are not able to do it. Why? Their mind has gone so far in the world outside. And then it becomes too difficult. Whereas in the child's case, it hasn't happened yet. So therefore, it can work, the chances are it will work more in the case of a child than an adult. Adult has to battle because already we have lost our slot. We have become completely infected with the world inside. And therefore we have questions, question after question, isn't it? So whereas in the child's case, there was no problem. Child accepted it because Maharshi told him, he accepted it. And when he went home also, it kept working in his head, what the Maharshi has told him. And he kept thinking about this. And when the prarabdham is over, the body gone. And while leaving the body also, he had this soham koham, that thoughts inside. So that is his real surubam. And the child was only 4 years old at that time when this happened. And when the child died, and they have brought that child back, and they built a samadhi like that for the child, and outside it's written, so Deham Naham Koham Soham. Written on the, what do they call that, on the tomb or whatever that is written on the body. So actually this should be given to the children rather than the grown up, because they have a much better opportunity of absorbing it, easier than the adults. Adults, because once you put them through this education, then when he comes out, it's gone. Then it won't work. It's difficult. Because all the garbage has been pumped heavily into their head. Then it's very difficult to change that. So, so therefore, one famous sannyasi said this. He said that as soon as he was a sannyasi, he said, if I was a householder, he said, if the child is born, the only thing I will teach him from the very early days is Aham Brahmasmi, he said. I won't teach him. Now people teach everything else, isn't it? Computer, iPad, iPhone, I this, I that. He says, I Brahmasmi, you should teach. I Brahmasmi. Not iPhone, iPad, I this, I that. I Brahmasmi. If you teach that to the child, it will be life for life, it will be there for him. So that is another important point. that swarupam, who I am and who am I, that identity is, and if you keep injecting this early as possible in a child, somehow or the other it will work one day. It will remain inside that this bodily relationship is identity is not true. So, body is not my identity, and once you have rejected the body, that you are not the body, then all the other identities which are in relationship with the body also goes. Is it not? Suppose you have got convinced yourself, within yourself, you got convinced in your realization that you are not this body, then all other identities what you have in this world, Say you are a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmachari, Grastham, Vanaprastham, Sannyasam, engineer, doctor, lawyer, whatever that may be, man, woman, husband, father, mother,
All these identities is gone as soon as you lose this identity of the body. And similarly, body, mind, intelligence is not me. So, something beyond this body, mind and intelligence, something is always present there. That is that awareness, awareness inside. And that we are experiencing all the time very clearly, isn't it? And that is our personality. And that personality, we are experiencing it very clearly within ourselves. And if you keep on giving attention to that, that awareness all the time, that is called austerity. Tapas it is. And inquiring that, where is it coming from? Where is it coming from? And then you will know that is the proper way of performing austerity. Performing austerity. Once it so happened, a young man, he had somehow interest in spiritual life. So he came up to a sannyasi and told him, asked him that, I want to find out where should I perform the penances, austerities and penances. Because in the olden days, people used to go to Himalayas for performing austerities and penances. To be aloof from the world, is it not? Or to the forest, like we see in the Bhagavadam. Personalities like Dhruva Maharaj, Ambarish and Hiranyakashipu, all of them went to the forest to perform their austerities. So, having read all that, this young man also felt that he should find out a place where he could go for performing austerities. That's the idea behind asking that question. So, where should I go and perform my penances? So, this sannyasi didn't answer that question to him. So, for a long time, this sannyasi kept quiet without answering this question. So, he was not getting any answer, this young man. And he said, for people who were sitting next to him, other people who were next to him, he said to them that I asked this question to this sannyasi, he is not giving me any answer for my question. And I came all the way here, he has come from a long way, thinking that he will find me some place or tell me where I should go. You remember in the olden days people used to go to places like that, away from home, isolated places. They will go to perform their austerities and penances. Ganga River, Prayag, people used to go. And or some famous temples, they will go to perform some austerities and penances, or to the forest, or to the Himalayas and mountains and places like that, aloof from everything. So, I'm not getting any answer, this young man said from this sannyasi. So, when this sannyasi was going for a walk in the evening, and he says to him that he never gave answer till then. But while leaving, he got up. He knew that the young man was leaving that day. And he could see that the young man was interested, a bit like Rahugana in that way. So, what did he do? This sannyasi told him that you want to find out a place for austerities, he was asking, place for austerity, performing austerities. He said, go back to the place where you came from, he said. And he did not understand. He is telling me to go back. So he doesn't have to tell me to go back, is it? So that I can do myself. But then, there were others who were present there. They understood what that meant was, do self-inquiry, go back to where you came from. You came from there, is it not? Sayesha jivo, vera prasudi. Jiva has come from there, from the hrith. Inquire and go back. That is the proper austerity, proper tapasya, he told him. So only when somebody explained to him this, he got it, what he was talking about. And there is no point in going to the forest or to the caves and trying to settle down there. And that tapasya is external. But this tapasya is internal. You see? The self-inquiry is the internal tapasya, internal austerity. Going to the forest, going to the caves and all that is the external austerity. But if you go to the cave and or if you go to the forest and still if your mind is absorbed in the world, then what is the use of that austerity? It's not going to help very much, isn't it? So, going back with the self-inquiry process, so that is what he was saying here. So, So if you keep this in their heart, and Krishna is also saying here that austerity is Hrit, as Krishna calls it, that is our place from where it was born, and that is a place where we belong to, where we belong to. And in every moment, if we allow our false ego to go and get destroyed there in that process, then when the false ego one eventually finally dies. And when the finally false ego dies, that is the place, that is death. That is death. When the false ego finally dies, that is called death. That's called death. And where the false ego takes birth, that is your birthplace. False ego was born from here. Remember that from Chit Shakti comes these three forces: Ahangaram, Buddhi, and Manasa. Three things: Icha Shakti, Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti. So, Jnana Shakti is the Buddhi. Icha Shakti, Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti, Sarubini. Three powers, different powers. So, Ahangaram, Manasa, Buddhi. You can put it like that also. All three of them, they take their birth from there, and they have to go back to the same place where they were born. And that is why he says, Ahamaha Janmadesham. So here, Ahangaram, where it was born, you are sending it back there, and that is the real tapas, real austerity. If you inquire in that way, if you develop that practice, you will find out that where did this Ahangaram comes from? Ahangaram, how does it come? If you keep on inquiring like that, Ahangaram will finally disappear, and with that the individuality also will go away. Individuality is this Ahangaram. Ahangaram is individuality. You can see, realized souls don't have individuality. That is why we were saying yesterday that none of the rishis want you to identify them with their Ahangaram. Therefore, none of the rishis left behind about their place of birth, about their parentage, where they lived. No information is available about any of them. We have a list of 400 rishis in the Bhagavatam. And if you want to find out in detail about them, you can't get any information. Little bit here and there you will get it. For example, we know that Vedavyasa Maharshi was born from Parashara Maharshi. Parashara's son from Satyavadi, Vedavyasa was born. This is how much we know about Vedavyasa. Obviously, he got enthralled in the Mahabharata to that extent, and because he was a rishi who compiled all the Shastram, we get to know a little bit about it, but very little. Very, very little about Vedavyasa, isn't it? Sugar Brahmarshi doesn't want to say anything about himself. And if you look in Skandavaranam, Sugar Brahmarshi is a married person with family, everything. And in the Padmavaranam, and Bhagavatam is a brahmachari. Why? Why is it like that? Because they know very well that if they tell you about their all these things, you will go and hold on to that quickly. That's what we are interested about, their past life. What did they do? How did they do? Where did they live? And this kind, what is their date of birth? When did they die? How many years they lived in this planet? Who were their wives? How many wives he had? How many children he had? The mundane inquiry, what we will do. They don't want that, to inject that into us. Therefore, there is very little information about all the rishis, because rishis never believed in terms of the body anything. So you can see here, their Ahangaram has gone. It is Ahangaram inside who wants all this. Which one? Date of birth, date of death, and biography, autobiography. Who wants it? Ahangaram wants it. In fact, have you noticed Krishna didn't write an autobiography, did he? We are all writing our autobiography and biography, everything. Krishna didn't write one. Why? In fact, he had 125 years, a long life story here to write. But he didn't write. Why? Because if Krishna has written autobiography, what we will think about Krishna? Whatever Krishna is speaking, how can you accept it then? Is it not? It is totally contradicting to the teachings then. Ekadasha Skandam and Bhagavad Gita, if there is one message in that, is this, that nothing to do with the body. And if he goes and writes something about his own life in this world, 125 years, I had a great time, was born here,
and then this was my childhood in Vrindavan, and then I went to Mathura and spent there. I conquered all these countries, these kings were killed. Nothing, absolutely nothing. Nothing. Doesn't want to know anything about it, because as far as Krishna is concerned, these things have not happened even. He himself says that, it's not. That kim bhadram kim abhadram va doidasya vasuna kiyal vajoditam tad anurdam manasodhyatam evacha. A very precise statement about this world. Nothing is true here. So, therefore, when we move away from the ahankaram, false ego, you will see that all these things crumbling down one after the other, all this illusion about individuality, autobiography, all birthday party, marriage, all these things will collapse one after the other. That's the only way it will collapse. When this knowledge and realization comes in, these things will collapse one day. Now we are not bothered about it. We want this and we want birthday party also. How can that work? That cannot work. Birthday party and all is against the Shastram. It is not justified at all in any way. Once you have understood this, Prabhupada never encouraged this birthday party. This is all nonsense what's going on now. You can see, you can say anything you like. If you agree with what Krishna says, you have to support what Krishna is saying in the Bhagavatam. After reading Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and then you are going doing such things, either you have not read Bhagavatam, or you have not understood what Krishna is telling us. That's all it is. There's nothing more than that. So that's Purana. Then Krishna is saying to us, Ahangaram, Ahangaram, when that Ahangaram is born, that is when you are experiencing this world. When the Ahangaram is there. If the Ahangaram is not there, you won't experience the world. It's something to be experienced. It cannot be spoken and convinced somebody about it. That is the way it is. That Gaudapada Acharya, when he mentions that in Gaudapada Kariya, he will say all these things. He said, if the Ahangaram is there, it's no point in talking to him about the world. That the world doesn't exist. You won't understand. Because Ahangaram is the one thing that keeps this world alive. Otherwise, world has no existence. So Ahangaram, if that doesn't happen to that, if doesn't wake up inside in a person, then Sarvam Kalidam Brahma, all the Upanishad statements will become truth at that time. And it is keeping, staying in that state only. Hastamalaka was saying this particular statement. And that means consciousness is unending. Consciousness is anantam. Anantam means unlimited ocean of awareness. That's what he's saying. Unlimited ocean of awareness. And that is the point he is expanding in the next verse. If you look, this one particular point is expanding in the next verse. Nimittam manas chakshuradi pravurto nirastagilau vadi agashakalpam revir loga cheshta nimittam yadhaya sanityobalabdhi surubhoham alpa. That is that statement. Nimittam manas chakshuradi pravurto nirastagilau vadi ubhadi agashakalpam revir loga cheshta nimittam yadhaya sanityobalabdhi surubhoham alpa. Surubhoham alpa. So that verse we will discuss next Saturday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.